Meanwhile, the two sides on the edge of a war. We don't know how this is going to play out.
President Obama travels to New York today to view damages from Hurricane Sandy. The president will meet with local and state officials and hurricane victims. BP is expected to pay a record U.S. criminal penalty and plead guilty to criminal misconduct in the 2010 Deepwater Horizon disaster. The announcement, expected to come today, is through a plea deal reached with the Department of Justice. This is NBC News Radio. Well, it may keep you awake, but what is the risk? The FDA says there are concerns about highly caffeinated beverages.
The Food and Drug Administration reports that in the past 4 years, there have been 13 deaths where the victim had ingested a shot of 5-Hour Energy, the highly caffeinated beverage. In addition to the deaths, 5-Hour Energy drinkers have been involved with such ailments as convulsions and heart attacks more than 30 times over that same period. The makers of 5-Hour Energy say their product is completely safe when used as directed. I'm Paul Harlan, NBC News Radio.
And it's settled. Pot is legal in Washington and Colorado. But what about driving under the influence? Officials say it's not as easy as measuring a driver's blood alcohol content. Marijuana stays in the system long after its side effects wear off, and there is no widely available test to determine whether someone is driving while impaired. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
Hi, Jode. It's Berry. I'm not going to make it in today. I'm really stuffed up.
Totally believable, honey.
Thanks. Now let's go.
Whatever it takes, get to Sears Super Saturday Sale with Friday Preview. Two huge savings-filled days to get a jump on holiday shopping. This is how to gift. This is Sears. And right now, Shop Your Way Rewards members earn 5% back on Sears card purchases. Offer ends 2/2/13. See Sears.com for details.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
A fresh reminder that the housing market, while improving, is not improving smoothly. RealtyTrack is out with its latest measure of U.S. foreclosures, finding a 3% increase in overall activity in October from September. But the bigger trend is still down. The number of homes last month receiving default notices, scheduled for auctions or repossessed by banks, fell 19% from the same month last year. 1,700 jobs at Texas Instruments soon will be no more. The company has decided to wind down its operation making processors for mobile devices. Instead, it will concentrate on what's been more profitable, chips for increasingly computerized cars, as well as appliances. A day after we found out businesses are paying a little less for their goods and services, we get the reading of what we're paying. The Consumer Price Index is expected to show an October increase, but barely. Ahead of that, S&P futures are positive by 5, NASDAQ futures gaining 8, Dow futures up 28. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
My Mercedes-Benz technicians know my car inside and out.
They arrived at my house and changed my tire in minutes. They had me on my way.
Prepaying for my maintenance is so easy and convenient. It's one less thing.
Personal attention and exceptional customer care. As a Mercedes-Benz owner, it's what you deserve and what you'll get.
My go-to guys.
My rescue squad.
My road ahead. My service.
To learn more, visit mbusa.com/myservice.
Services vary. Available at participating dealers.
I need a data backup solution for my business to replace my current tape backup device.
Do you want to spend a lot of money?
No.
Do you want to store and pay for replicated data?
No.
How about a solution that's difficult to install and use?
No.
Offshore or automated phone tree support okay?
No.
Then yes, we can help.
Barracuda Backup. End-to-end protection for physical and virtual servers, including data deduplication, to significantly reduce storage requirements, and replicated cloud storage for assured recovery, and live humans to answer your calls. Try Barracuda Backup free. Go to barracuda.com/yes.
I want my company's network to be safer and more reliable.
Do you want
to
deal with multiple vendors?
No.
Are per-user fees and added feature costs okay?
No.
How about solutions that are hard to install and use?
No.
Offshore or automated phone tree support okay?
No.
Then yes, we can help.
Barracuda Networks offers the largest family of powerful, affordable security networking and storage solutions designed to protect business users, apps, and data. All from a single source that's easy to do business with. Protect your business. Visit barracuda.com/products to try any free for 30 days.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Because neither rain, nor snow, nor dust and dirt, nor smudges, or even the toughest scratches, nor the glare of oncoming traffic can keep your lenses from giving you the clearest vision possible. Crizal lenses. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for them at your eye care professional.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Change mandates vision. Vision mandates intelligence. Intelligence mandates thought, and thought demands attention. As we look for leadership that demonstrates courage and conscience, we ask the deliberate question that provides the path to truth. That question is, are you ready for change? And if you are you ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano?
Are you ever ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano? We are so, well, I don't want to say unpredictable, but certainly we keep you guessing, don't we, from time to time? If not, let me know, and I'll start doing that. Good morning to you. It is Thursday, the 15th day of November. That's right. It's the middle of November already, of the year 2012. And welcome to this morning's program. We have a really great show lined up for you today. Of course, it's Labor Day Thursday. We'll get to the rundown here in just 1 second. But certainly between the temperature, which is well, pretty dang cold, and the time of year, it all makes sense, doesn't it? Oh, my, oh, my. What a day yesterday. What a day. Lots going on. Lots of movement. Lots of activity. Lots of interest. Lots of activism. I'm feeling good about this. And at some level, as I've talked to a handful of people in the last couple of days that really do get this whole idea that we can't take time off between now and the midterms, which is 2 years from now. We can't take time off, but we'll get to this. We'll get to all of this. We're going to cover it all today. Let's take a look at what's going on today's show. In the 7 o'clock hour, journalist extraordinaire Susan Demas joins us. Couple things that we're going to get into with Susan. One of them, and she just wrote a piece in Mirror's News Service about which polling firms were most accurate. It's really quite interesting. She also breaks down the numbers, the demographics, and it's again very fascinating. What I find really fascinating, we were told that young people and minorities wouldn't come out in the numbers that they did in 2008. Oh, were we wrong? In the best possible way. And I'm not sure how to pronounce the first name, but we're just going to go for it, and then we'll get it right before we have him on. But Subodha Chandra is an attorney with a firm in Ohio. And why would we have an attorney at a firm in Ohio on? Well, the Secretary of State, the Republican Secretary of State John Husted in Ohio, tried to pull a fast one at the last minute before the elections. A federal judge bitch slapped him pretty hard. And we'll talk about voter suppression in Ohio. Will it be visiting us, or did it already visit us, or is it living with us, is the question. David Hecker, as part of our Labor Day Thursdays, joins us, the president of the American Federation of Teachers Michigan, and Chris Mihalakis, the president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO, is with us as well. So it's a pretty predictable, but you never know what you're going to get Thursday here on First Shift. Let's get it going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Our first word today is potential. Now, listen, potential is one of those words that no matter how you define it, really is about, at some level, the choices you make. See, somebody may see potential in you that you don't see in yourself. You may feel that you have the potential to do something, but not quite ready to make that transition. Another first word. Listen, potential really is about, at some level, taking a risk. You think about this for a moment. If you really feel like something's possible, potential, there are times where you just kind of have to stretch things a little bit. You have to say, you know what, this is worth the effort. It's worth the ask. It's worth the cause. It's worthy of time and to have that vision, because it takes vision to truly appreciate potential, whether it's in yourself or in someone else. Well, it takes effort. It takes serious effort. But let's not discount the importance of potential. Oftentimes, when somebody perhaps takes a chance on you, or you have taken a chance on someone because you saw potential, and it works out, well, then what? That makes you a genius, right? Let's think about this for just a minute longer. What if it doesn't work out? What if that potential doesn't blossom? That's okay. It doesn't mean that it wasn't worth the risk or the investment. It's a learning. It's a stepping stone. It's an opportunity. It's all in how you process it. It's really very much about choices that you make, but really focusing on potential is not a bad thing. Sometimes you just have to cross that line. Sometimes you just have to hold your breath and hope. Other times, you're going to feel far more confident about the potential of any situation. And we are at a critical time in our history, in our present, in our past. We are at a critical time where tapping into potential may be the quickest way to change. That's right. Today's first word is potential.
Lions.
Stafford takes, looks, throws deep middle. Got a man out there. It's Calvin at the five. Makes the catch.
Tigers.
Monroe edges off of second. The 1-0. Swinging a fly ball. Left field. It's deep. It's way back. The Tigers are going to the World Series.
Red Wings.
And Detroit Red Wings, for the third time in 11 years, are the Stanley Cup champions.
And Pistons.
The Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
The First Shift crew gives you some Detroit sports knowledge to drop next time you're at the water cooler.
And we welcome back the one and only Anthony Truppiano. Good morning, eh?
Good morning. We should be celebrating, having a party today.
Over lots of things.
Yeah, let's shut down Woodward, get the flows ready, let's go.
So are we talking about the Pistons winning a game or Torrey Hunter signing with the Tigers?
I was talking about the Pistons.
Oh, okay.
Real news.
Well, both of those are real news. Yes, the Pistons. I had a meeting last night, and it was at a restaurant, and the Pistons game was on. So I watched some of the first half of the Pistons game, and they were playing extremely well. And then when I got in the truck, I turned on the radio, and they were still playing really well. So I went to bed last night, Anthony, thinking they're going to win this game. And you know what? They won that game, and they won fairly handily.
Yeah, yeah. This is the first game I didn't watch. I actually fell asleep watching the pregame, so maybe I need to do that from now on.
Okay, well, whatever gets them to win, if it means that you have to fall asleep and not watch them, well, probably not the preferable way to do it, but hey, whatever gets them to a win. They played extremely well, obviously, last night. 94-76 was the final, and great defense. And Anthony, you know, bottom line is, yes, you've got to score points. That's true in any sport. You got to have offense. But basketball is so much about defense, and if you're not playing good defense, you just can't win. And their defense has broken down so many times in the first eight games that it didn't surprise anybody that they were losing. Last night, great defense, great offense. You know, Rodney Stuckey was out, a rookie starts for the first time, plays well, 16 points, had some pretty slick moves on the court. I don't know, it was a pretty exciting game.
Yeah, I mean, I really wish I just seen the highlights real quick, but yeah, with Stuckey out and the singular coming in, and having a big game, and then Jarepko coming off the bench. He's been really good all season coming off the bench. And still kind of waiting for Drummond to come around, but he played all right, and Greg Monroe put up huge numbers like he always does. So they looked, yeah, this is what they look like when they win and they play good.
Well, now we know, and let's hope it doesn't take another 8 games to get them to win number 2. So they are 1-8 on the season now. And, well, we'll just stay hopeful. But it sure is good to talk about a Pistons victory this morning. Talk about potential, Anthony. Let's talk about the potential of one Torrey Hunter signing a 2-year, $26 million contract with our Detroit Tigers.
Yeah, he was. He's everything I wanted besides his age, but, you know, I'll take it. I mean, he's a former All-Star, but he's solid in right or left, wherever they end up playing him. I mean, if he hits 280 and, you know, batting second, then he's worth all the money that we gave him. And he's really put into, like, a low-pressure situation because we're not asking him to do much. We're just asking him to
be himself.
Be himself.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, and I realize that we're going on last season's stats, but we'll, you know, the leadoff hitter will be Austin Jackson, who hit exactly 300. Torrey Hunter, who hit 303 or 313 last year. And by the way, when he moved to second in the batting order in for the Angels, he hit 343 for the remainder of the season. Just want to throw that in. Then you've got who bats third?
Cabrera.
Cabrera's 330. Prince Fielder 318. I could go on. I mean, think about this. Now you're going to have Victor Martinez coming back, who hit over 300. We have the potential to have the first 5 hitters in our lineup that hit over 300. I said the potential.
Was that the AL All-Star lineup, or was that the Tigers?
That's the Tigers. Think about that. Think about that. I mean, again, it's just potential.
Don't forget our starting rotation.
Thank you. So, and you know what? I'm sorry, Justin Verlander barely misses out on a second Cy Young Award. I mean, barely. Closest vote in the history of the American League Cy Young.
Because nobody really stuck out this year.
No, and that may have been part of the problem.
And
but
Miggy, don't forget about, mention Miggy real quick tonight, going for the MVP.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's get to the break real quick here. We've got plenty to get to, including your calls. Don't be afraid, 888-552-3595. A lot to do, and we'll get to it all after we get this first break out of the way. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trivino.
Tonight, more than 200 years after a former colony won the right to determine its own destiny, the task of perfecting our union moves forward.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by the one and only Honey Baked.
Checking your early morning commute. Still watching that accident. Has your right shoulder blocked. Tractor trailer is on its side. That's on US 23 northbound after Summerfield Road. And Merriman Road northbound at 94. That ramp to 94 eastbound is closed until 5 a.m. on Friday. And on 75 northbound before Dearborn Street, right lane is going to be closed until 6 p.m. on Friday. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
The one and only Honey Baked. Only Honey Baked hams and turkey breasts are fire glazed and slow smoked. And only Honey Baked makes Thanksgiving this delicious and convenient with new Honey Baked Express locations in Brighton and Novi. For more Honey Baked Express locations or a store near you, visit honeybakedfoods.com.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 45. Tonight, a low of 31. Tomorrow, sunny and 50 degrees. And it's currently 35 outside right now. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He's come over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock. Anthony just rocked my world. I'm taking a trip to D.C. I'm going to be doing the show from Families USA, which is a pro-American Affordable Care Act group. It does an annual conference, and they've invited me to bring the show to D.C. for a couple days, and they're congressmen and senators and doctors and experts, and, you know, really just to highlight what the ACA is all about. And so I was honored to be asked, and they do cover my travel expenses, but they ask you to be frugal if you can, as you can. And so, you know, we found a flight, very reasonable, under $200, and we had to get it approved. Now, why am I telling you all this? Because what was a week ago a $200 flight is now no longer that. It's $700. How the hell does that happen? And then he says, Anthony just tells me, well, you know, we can get it cheaper, but you have to make two stops. Two stops to D.C.? You spend more time coming down and going up than you do to fly. It's an hour and 10-minute flight at best. Oh, sweet Jesus. I cannot believe the airline industry. And truly, it is one of the greatest ripoffs in the history of free enterprise. There we go, that free enterprise stuff. It just pisses me off. It's crazy. Anyway, we're open lines this hour. We've got a lot of stuff to get to. 888-552-3595, Tony at thetonyshow.org, on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. Before I get into some of the audio, I've got some stories here I want to share with you as well. Want to make a comment about one of the guests we had yesterday, Ryan Fishman. He was the guy that wrote the op-ed in the Detroit Free Press, Why Can't Republicans Win the White House? Got really a great response to that. I had a nice talk with him during the day yesterday. We had a chance to connect after the show, and you know, we agreed that we need to have him on more often, although philosophically, ideologically, he and I are so far apart on most issues. I found him to be intelligent, reasonable. I really do believe that we need a responsible, responsive, relevant Republican Party. And why do I believe that? I mean, you know, there are those of you that are going to hear me say that and say, no, let them go in the trash. Now, I don't believe society's served when we don't have good, hearty, reasonable debate. Now, we don't have that now. We haven't had it for a long time, and it's the complete fault of the Republicans. There's no question the Republicans are trying to throw this country into the trash. And I know the Republicans blame Democrats for that, but it's just not true. And fundamentally, it's just not true. It's the Republicans. It's the Tea Party. It's the redefining. It's the infighting. Republicans have never fought like they do now. And anybody that's being honest with themselves that knows politics knows I'm telling the truth. The Republicans have never been as nasty as they are now. I mean ever. I'm not saying they've never been nasty, but not with each other. It's always been with everyone else. It just astounds me. It astounds me how they have ruined themselves. Again, if I wanted to be an opportunist, I'd say, all right, let's keep on beating that dead dog until it's gone. But then what do we replace it with? That's something you should be very concerned about. If the Tea Party, or if the ultra-conservative, neocon, right-wing faction of the Republican Party ends up being victorious, let's say they take over. Now, they won't win the White House. I assure you, they will never win the White House. Eventually, they'll lose Congress. They've already lost the Senate. They'll never get it back. And maybe that's a good thing. But I don't know that we're best served that way, is all I'm saying. We all need checks and balances, do we not? Nobody should go unchecked. Listen, this is politics at the end of the day. Can we really trust? Ultimately, that's the question. Can we really trust? All right, 888-552-3595. Let's say good morning to Pete in Clawson. Pete, good morning to you. Thanks for punching in. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning. Yeah, you commented just a moment ago about the Tea Party, and you know, one of the things that I find interesting is that if you really look at the origin of the Tea Party, it actually started under the Bush administration with the people getting quite angry with the spending that was going on. And the thing that I find interesting about the connection between them and the Occupy Wall Street is if you look at both of them, if you take away all of their social issues, at their core, they have more in common than they probably care to admit. Because I believe that at their core, both of them would agree that it's a rigged game. The Wall Street end of it's a rigged game, and the taxing of this country is a rigged game. And so I think if you were to start the conversation at that base, I think we get probably quite a bit further.
I don't disagree with that, Pete. I think you make a good point, and you're right, Pete. We need to remember that that the Tea Party was born out of ultra-conservative frustration for President George W. Bush's ongoing reckless spending. They saw
exactly. They
saw this calamity coming, and let's give them credit for that, Pete. They saw it coming a whole lot sooner than most people did. And
this was,
yeah, they did. And so, you know, let's give them some credit for that. I think you're right. I think fundamentally you're right. You take away the social issues and at their core, they both want the same thing. They just want it for different reasons.
Exactly. And it's a really kind of a shame that, if, you know, and that's the thing that, not to say that, I mean, social issues are very important, but they certainly do, muddy the conversation of what really is at the base of the issue.
Oh, I agree. Pete, thank you so much for the call. That was a very intelligent call, and I appreciate that. I think, you know, fundamentally, Pete makes a really good point on muddying the issue. Isn't that, I guess that's a tenant, a pretty staunch tenant of politics. How can we obfuscate? Instead of looking at things, let's have an honest conversation for a moment before we get to the break here. Our number one priority was what both campaigns for months dealt with, which was the economy. That is this country's number one issue. Now, philosophically, we don't agree on the end game, right? The Republicans say tax cuts for the rich, trickle-down economics. We know it's a failed policy. That's not what this is about. That's not what this conversation's about. All right. But stop for a moment and think how we grow the economy. We grow the economy by creating jobs, by taxing those incomes, by that money then flowing into the government coffers, et cetera, et cetera. We also need to cut spending. We do. We also need to increase revenue, and I do believe that's going to happen. And the president has been very clear that the Bush tax cuts will be retired at the end of the year. He will not support any bargain that continues tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans. Just won't do it. So we agree that it's the economy. We just don't agree on the end game. We got to get to the break. A lot more to get to. Give us a call if you'd like. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
Checking your commute, there are no major problems on your drive. You just have that one accident has your right shoulder blocked. That's in Petersburg, US 23 northbound after Summerfield Road, where that tractor trailer is on its side. As far as construction, Belleville Road southbound at 94, that left lane is closed until 3 p.m. on Friday. 275 southbound at 94, a single lane closure is scheduled from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. today. And 75 northbound before Dearborn Street, right lane is closed until 6 p.m. on Friday. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Drive through McDonald's today, and when you pick up $10 worth of McDonald's Arch Cards for anyone on your holiday list, you'll enjoy a free medium McCafe drink for yourself. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 45. Tonight, a low of 31. Tomorrow, sunny and 50 degrees. And it's currently 35 outside right now. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Executives in private equity firms, such as Mitt Romney of Bain Capital and Henry Kravis of Kohlberg Kravis Roberts, tend to be peacocks who think quite highly of themselves. Fanning their splendid tail feathers, they unabashedly claim to be the ultimate free enterprise risk takers, worth every dime of the multi-million dollar paychecks they award themselves each year. Excuse me, but the risks taken by these self-anointed heroes of the market are done with other people's money, not their own. But here's a revelation that really ruffles their feathers. They appear to have been gathering their riches not with bold competition, but with old-fashioned collusion. An antitrust civil lawsuit filed in federal court against 11 of the biggest equity firms includes emails in which they agree not to compete. In 2006, for example, the head of Blackstone sent an email to the co-founder of KKR. "We would much rather work with you guys than against you. Together we can be unstoppable, but in opposition, we can cost each other a lot of money." The KKR honcho happily emailed back a one-word response: "Agreed." Collusion, of course, perverts the marketplace they pretend to worship, artificially lowering the market price they'd otherwise pay. In the 2008 takeover of the giant HCA hospital chain, for example, KKR expressly asked its market rivals to step down on HCA and not bid. Agreeing to this blatantly illegal collusion, one rival wrote in an email, "All we can do is do unto others as we want them to do unto us." This is Jim Hightower saying, of course, they're really doing it unto you and me. The equity outfits even have an insider term for their mutual back-scratching. Club deals, they call them. Forget about the vaunted free market. When the big boys want to profiteer, they keep it inside the billionaire's club.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy.
We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Thursday morning. Lots going on. Lots to talk about. We're going to go back to the phones. 888-552-3595. Keith in Detroit is with us now. Good morning, Keith. Thanks for punching in. Morning, Keith.
Good morning, Tony.
How are you, brother?
I was thinking, what about that fiscal cliff? Is that some just another malarkey, as Joe Biden would say? What I'm looking at is if we go all the way to the end of the year and these tax cuts expire, then everything will be up for renegotiation and why the taxes go. And that you think the road the president may take?
I don't think so, only because there is a significant tax increase for the middle class if this is allowed to go without some kind of deal. At the end of the year, what will happen is the Bush tax cuts will expire for the wealthiest Americans. But
right.
The average American will see a...
for all the average Americans.
Yes. And so,
but don't you think that at that point, at the beginning of the year, that, if, you know, before it gets too deep into, say, January, that they would be forced, the Republicans would be forced to negotiate?
But
even with those tax increase for everyone.
I don't think we want it to get to that point, because we're talking about an average tax increase of, for you and I, Keith, of $3,700 a year. That's a lot of money, brother.
Right.
I don't want that.
But would that be, say, like if they came up with a deal in January, then that money would be retroactive to the beginning of the year, and the $3,700 wouldn't be an issue for the rest of the year, would it?
But what if they don't work that deal out? What if they don't make it retroactive? What if they can't come to a deal? You're playing a little bit of Russian roulette there, brother. Go ahead.
But those guys, Bain and those guys, are talking about not even touching the Bush tax cuts. So I'm thinking, how would that work? How would they cut a deal and they're still talking nuts, you know, like they did before the election, which they thought they were going to win?
Well, you know,
I don't understand.
Keith, let's be clear on one thing. President Obama definitively said that he will not sign anything that doesn't retire the Bush tax cuts. He's made it clear he will not allow the Bush tax cuts to continue, period.
Well, somebody has to blink then, huh?
Well, it better be the Republicans, because this will be, the blood will be on their hands, Keith. The blood will be on their hands.
I understand. And what do you think about these guys attacking the woman, Ms. Rice, at the U.N.?
I think it's hypocritical.
Did they learn anything?
Keith, let me tell you something funny. And this is funny. And thank you for your call. Here we are. John McCain criticizing... Think about this. Criticizing her because she's not... The guy that nominated Sarah Palin actually has the gall to say somebody's not smart enough for the job. That's not only it's hypocritical, it's actually pretty downright funny. 888-552-3595. We're going to come back to that topic. Laura in Royal Oak joins us now. Good morning, Laura. How you doing today?
Hi, Tony. Good morning. I wanted to comment on the fiscal cliff. I was listening on my way home yesterday to Tom Hartman, and they were talking about the expiration of the Bush tax credits at the end of the year. The Republican Party, as you well know, they signed an agreement with someone, Norquist, who is no one anyway, and about raising taxes. But what happens if they expire at the end of the year, they can retroactively put them back to December 31st. So, in fact, that would only be in effect for a couple of weeks. You may see an increase in your payroll income tax that you pay for a couple of weeks. But then when they go back in, what they've actually done, because they've all expired, it gets them out from under their pact with Norquist on raising taxes, because now, since they've all expired, they're actually cutting taxes now, because they can go back in and negotiate the reduction of income taxes on the middle class and leave the 1% out of it. So they haven't went against their pact that they made with Norquist on not raising taxes.
Yes, they're
a
messiah.
Win-win.
Well, it's not going to be a win-win. Here's why. The president has made it clear, I'll say this again, that he will not allow the Bush tax cuts to continue. That also means, Laura, he's not going to allow the Bush-type tax cuts to be reinstated. So that's not going to happen. But here may be their salvation, their messiah, their Lord and Savior, Grover Norquist, you know,
right.
made them sign a pledge that said they wouldn't raise taxes. But if the tax cuts expire, technically they didn't raise them. They just expired. So that's, if they really want to get technical on this, they can say, we didn't raise taxes, they just expired. And I know that sounds like a little bit of malarkey, but it's true. They didn't raise taxes. The tax cut just expired. And it's a deal.
Exactly.
It's just a
deal.
And
then they can go back in. Then they can go back in on the first couple of weeks of January, reintroduce a bill that will, in fact, put back the part of the Bush tax credits that apply to the middle class and the working poor, and now they have kept their agreement and reduced taxes. And I think that I personally did not feel that tax break that much, but if we get rid of everything that applies to the Bush administration, and then this would be Obama's tax credit breaks for the middle class.
Well, the middle class tax cuts that you said you didn't really feel were Obama's. Those were not Bush's. Those were Obama's. So, that is, you'll feel it if it expires, because that $3,700 per person per year will hurt.
Well, I know that they can, in fact, make everything retroactive.
They can, but it's a dangerous way to go into this, Laura, to think that you can undo it. I've cautioned, even at the state level, I've cautioned people into thinking that the way you correct something, because you need to not just get it through the House, you need to get it through the Senate, and then you need to get the president to sign it. That's not as easy as it sounds. It's truly not. Even though everything you said made complete sense, and if all of them were smart, Laura, they'd be listening to you right now and going, Laura gets it. Laura gets it. But they're not that smart.
Well, I totally agree with they're not that smart. But I also know that the American people that voted for Barack Obama want to see him stand up to them, and he does. They're tired of him not fighting harder. They want to see him stand up to them and do what it takes to make them commit to something without constantly one concession or after another. They want him to stand up to them, and he has said that if it comes across his desk and it has anything on it that keeps the 1% intact, he'll veto it.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Laura, thanks for the call. We got to move on. Let's go to Tony in Macomb. Tony, thanks for checking in with us this morning. What's on your mind?
Hi, Tony. Just want to take us a little different area here.
Sure.
If I understand the end game of progressive liberalism, I'll call it, it's to achieve some level of economic equality or leveling of the economic base. So started doing some research on that, looked at North Korea. North Korea provides its people free education, free housing, free health care. It has a very centralized planning of industry, and it's all done in the name of the working people. But as we know, North Korea's equality economically is at a poverty level. So if we in America are, if that's the end goal is economic equality, we remove the profit motive and we centralize the federal government, why would the end game be any different in America?
Well, it wouldn't be, Tony, and I don't know anybody that, well, I'm not, that's not true, there would be some, but I don't really, and I'll tell you from my perspective, I don't want economic equality, I want equal opportunity, and there's a big difference between the two. I'm a capitalist. I've said this before. I have no problem with people having massive wealth. What I do have a problem with is them not having to play by the same rules that you and I do, Tony. I'll make the assumption that you're not uber wealthy. I'm just going to make that assumption. I think I'm safely making that assumption. I'm not uber wealthy either. In fact, I'm not wealthy, but I'm okay with that. All I'm saying is equal access to opportunity. I want there to be equality in the workplace. I want us to have safe workplaces. I want to make sure that if corporations exceed their expectations from a profit standpoint, that the people that made them that money are somehow rewarded for the work that they do. I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. I'm not looking to provide housing for every person in America. Not every person in America wants an education, free or otherwise. That's just a reality. Some people just want to go to work, and there's nothing wrong with that. I absolutely stand by those people that would just like to have a job, make enough money to provide for themselves and their families, and live their version of the American dream. Nobody that I know, and I'm just being honest about it, nobody that I know is looking for North Korea-style government takeover of the country. And if I'm wrong, folks, call me and tell me I'm wrong. All right, quick break here. Richard and John, you guys are up next, and Michael. And just stay where you're at. We've got to take a quick break. We'll get to all the calls on the other side. 888-552-3595. This is First Shift. We'll be back right after this.
With Tony Triano.
Richard, good morning to you. How you doing today?
Great, Tony. Wow, wonderful show, man. Since you've been on, it's been a breath of fresh air, I got to tell you.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Attorney Dana Nessel.
I had to ask a neighbor of mine to watch my kids, and this woman is she's a card-carrying member of the Republican Party, and she knew I was working on this case. And when I came to pick my kids up, she said, you know what, yes, you know, we are fiscal conservative, but our family still believes in equal rights for everyone. And it really touched me, because I thought there's a lot of people out there that they may not be Democrats, they may not be liberals, they don't believe in this kind of discrimination. They still think this is wrong.
Yeah, you know, Dana Nessel, it continues to confound me. If there's one topic that should be nonpartisan, it should be human rights. It just should be.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift
with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Obviously a topic that has hit a nerve, and that's okay. That's what we're here for. 888-552-3595. Let's go to Richard and welcome Richard to First Shift. Good morning to you, Richard. What's on your mind?
Well, Tony, you know, I've got some concerns that this guy Thaddeus McCotter forged his signatures, or he, his staff did, and in 2008, 10, and 12. And why can't I, as a citizen, bring charges against him for fraudulently representing me as my congressman?
Well, I don't know. You'd have to talk to somebody that knows more about election law than I do. It actually goes back to 2006, Richard. So, yes, in 6, 8,
wow.
6, 8, 10, and 12, they collected signatures, but a lot of them were not just fraudulent. They were copied from past years, and they're going through that. Can you sue him directly, Richard? I just don't know the answer to that. You'd have to talk to an election attorney, and I'm not one.
Well, you know what we should do? If there's any attorneys out there, give Tony a call and give him your opinion. And then I have another concern. The very guy that's going to replace him for 2 years, on Facebook, there was a quite involved article that his brother claims he's insane.
Yeah, well,
I do not want an insane congressman.
Well, it's too late, Richard. He's been elected, been duly elected, been legally elected, and that article came out long before, you know, a week before the election, and the people of the 11th Congressional District decided to vote for him anyway. Thanks for the call, Richard. Unfortunately, that's water that's passed through. Michael in Dearborn joins us now. Good morning, Michael. Thanks for punching in. What's on your mind?
I was calling a reference to the gentleman who spoke about North Korea earlier and the whole concept of a communist society or whatever.
Sure.
I lived there for a year from 06 to 07. I was stationed in the 2nd Infantry Division with the U.S. Army. Me and my wife lived there. He got the Koreas right. Maybe you should have looked a little further south to a place called South Korea. Third largest disposable economy on the planet, universal health care, egalitarian society, all those great trappings of modern civilization, and we helped them rebuild their economy. But comparing anything about this country to North Korea, I mean, the distance couldn't be any more. I mean, it couldn't be any larger. It's such a huge contrast between the two countries, and I don't even see why anybody would even bring up communism or even North Korea-style totalitarianism as they kind of point to anything, because it doesn't reference anything.
Well, Michael, first of all, let me thank you for your service to our country. I do appreciate that, and I hope that you had a nice Veterans Day. Number one. Number two, conservatives, and Tony is a conservative. They like to play this communist game. Unfortunately, and I'm not saying this is true of Tony, there are many people that don't know the difference between communism and socialism, and they like to throw these phrases out there because they think it scares people. You know, on Saturday evening, I attended a dinner, a fundraiser for the Democratic Socialists of America. Oh, no. Some of the people you know awfully well were there. Folks, socialism isn't a bad thing. We don't live in a socialist society. But the idea that we are our brother's keeper, that there are certain things we can and should do that are socialist in nature, is nothing to fear. In fact, they are things to embrace. Universal health care, which we don't have, is a socialist idea that is a good thing. Oh, how about higher education for anybody that wants it? Socialist idea. That's a good thing. How about less war? How about less spending on war? That's a kind of a socialist idea. That's a good thing. We're so afraid of words. Words, ladies and gentlemen, words. Think about that for a moment. We don't want a communist society. We're not looking for a dictator. You know what? Very quickly, because let's do this. I want to play the Romney audio blaming the election, losing the election because Obama was somehow giving stuff away. Let's go to that audio.
Today, on an I'm sorry I lost conference call with top campaign donors, Mitt Romney said that President Obama won re-election because he gave African-American, Latino women and young voters, quote, gifts. A New York Times reporter who was on the call joins us in a moment. ABC News has this audio.
What the president's campaign did was focus on certain members of his base coalition, give them extraordinary financial gifts from the government, and then work very aggressively to turn them out to vote.
Romney also said that the president's campaign focused on giving targeted groups a big gift. So he made a big effort on small things. Those small things, by the way, add up to trillions of dollars. He said the president followed the old playbook of wooing specific interest groups, especially the African American community, the Hispanic community, and young people. Mr. Romney explained with targeted gifts and initiatives, in each case, they were very generous in what they gave those groups. He also said our strategy worked well with many people, but for those who were given a specific gift, if you will, our strategy did not work terribly well. Mitt Romney specifically cited the president's health care plan. You can imagine for somebody making $25,000 or $30,000 or $35,000 a year being told you're now going to get free health care, particularly if you don't have it. Getting free health care worth what, $10,000 per family in perpetuity? I mean, this is huge, he said. Likewise, with Hispanic voters, free health care was a big plus. But in addition, with regards to Hispanic voters, the amnesty for children of illegals, the so-called DREAM Act kids, was a huge plus for that voting group. And there's more. There were huge gifts to young people. With regards to the young people, for instance, a forgiveness of college loan interest was a big gift. Free contraceptives were very big with young college-aged women. And then finally, Obamacare also made a difference for them because, as you know, anybody now 26 years of age and younger was now going to be part of their parents' plan, and that was a big gift to young people.
All right, so let me get this right. The president of the United States actually did what he said he was going to do, and people voted for him based on him keeping promises, and somehow that's a bad thing? Okay. Tom in Detroit. Got to make it quick. Tom, good morning.
Tony, he got a down-home butt-kicking. He can't believe it. The man was an empty suit. I mean, he flip-flopped on every issue, and, you know, you can't trust a person like that. President Obama said what he was going to do when he came into office. He said what he was going to do. He said he was going to kill bin Laden and the whole nine yards after that. You can get health care and what have you. And he stuck to those promises, and he accomplished those objectives. But Romney, like I said, the man was an empty suit, and he just can't accept the fact that he got trounced. Electorally, he got trounced. And, I mean, that's the bottom line. The man's in denial. And I don't think he'll ever come out of denial and really admit why he got beat.
You're right, Tom. And it's interesting. I was reading a commentary this morning, and the guy wrote, I didn't not vote for you, Mitt and Paul. I didn't. It wasn't because you did this or that and didn't do this and that. I voted for Barack Obama, not against you. And there are a lot of people that did that. Lots. Tom, thanks for the call. Let's take a break here. Susan Demas from Mirrors News Service. When we continue on First Shift, stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by World Wrestling Entertainment.
Checking your commute, there are no major problems on your drive. You just have that one accident has your right shoulder blocked. That's in Petersburg, US 23 northbound after Summerfield Road, where that tractor trailer is on its side. As far as construction, Belleville Road southbound at 94, that left lane is closed until 3 p.m. on Friday. 275 southbound at 94, a single lane closure scheduled from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. today. And 75 northbound before Dearborn Street, right lane is closed until 6 p.m. on Friday. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Don't miss your favorite superstars at WWE Survivor Series this Sunday at 8 p.m. live on pay-per-view from Xfinity. To order, go to Xfinity.com/WWE or press menu twice on your remote.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be partly cloudy and 45. Tonight, a low of 31. Tomorrow, sunny and 50 degrees. And it's currently 35 outside right now. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Hey, it's Joe. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 AM WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is up next.
Calling on Congress to lock in the Bush-era tax cuts for those earning less than $250,000.
98% of Americans are not going to see their taxes go up. 97% of small businesses are not going to see their taxes go up.
House Republicans arguing the tax cuts for the wealthy should also be locked in. Israel's assault into Gaza is prompting concerns of a wider Mideast conflict. NBC's Martin Fletcher.
Israeli leaders warn they could, quote, expand the operation, including a ground invasion.
The army warned that no Hamas operatives should show their faces above ground in the days ahead.
Israel suffering its first casualty since the fighting began on Wednesday. Wall Street looking to rebound. The Dow starts the day down 185. And you'll pay more for gasoline over the Thanksgiving holiday, but it could have been worse. AAA says the current pump price, $3.44 for regular, is 33 cents less than it was just a month ago. This is NBC News Radio. Mitt Romney sharing his ideas on why he came up short in his battle with President Obama. NBC's Peter Alexander.
Governor Romney blamed this defeat on what he described as big gifts. That was his word, that the president had given to some of the Democrats' most loyal voting blocs, among them African Americans, young voters, and Hispanics.
Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal rebuffing Romney, telling fellow Republican governors that Romney's take is absolutely wrong and that the GOP must stand for all Americans. Figures just out show that the 17-nation Eurozone is officially back in a recession, its economy contracting by a tenth of a point in the third quarter. Economists say Europe's debt crisis gets most of the blame. Even Germany is struggling now. And talk about going green. Biofuel stations in the San Francisco area have started selling diesel made from algae. The micro blue-green plant found in lakes and oceans, scientists call it one of the most promising technologies when it comes to creating fuel from plant life. I'm Dirk Van, NBC News Radio.
Staples Copy and Print knows you need to promote your business.
Outdoor banners.
Detailing your one-of-a-kind product offering.
Trifold, full-color, double-sided brochures.
As you grow your business.
Business cards, postcards, car magnets.
And your customer base.
Design services, presentations, shipping.
So you go to the one place that has it all and prints it right.
Staples.
And right now, get 50% off photo cards and invitations. No coupon needed. Limited time only. Details in-store and at Staples.com. Staples. That was easy.
This is Charles Osgood. In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your agent know your name? Or would you call a 1-800 number that connects you with who? Another state? Another country? Get a local, independent insurance agent with Auto Owners Insurance. Someone you can call when bad stuff happens to your car, home, or business. In this moment, get an agent who will protect you in that moment. Auto Owners Insurance. The no problem people.
In Chelsea, call the Springer Agency at 734-475-8689.
As is so often the case, the latest insight we have on the nation's housing market is a little complicated. RealtyTrack, which tracks foreclosure activity, reports that in October, the number of homes somewhere in the foreclosure process increased 3% from September's reading, which had been a five-year low. The last month's number also was a 19% drop from a year earlier, suggesting a still steady but geographically uneven improvement in housing. At one time, Texas Instruments was the top maker of processors for cell phones. But its presence in the mobile device business has shrunk recently, and now TI says it will focus on products it finds more profitable, chiefly chips for cars and appliances. That shift in focus will mean a loss of 1,700 jobs at Texas Instruments. The Eurozone, still mired in the debt crisis, has now double-dipped in recession. That news is sending European stocks lower, but our stock futures are higher for the moment, S&P futures gaining 4 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
My Mercedes-Benz technicians know my car inside and out.
They arrived at my house and changed my tire in minutes. They had me on my way.
Prepaying for my maintenance is so easy and convenient. It's one less thing.
Personal attention and exceptional customer care. As a Mercedes-Benz owner, it's what you deserve and what you'll get.
My go-to guys.
My rescue squad.
My road ahead. My service.
To learn more, visit mbusa.com/myservice.
Services vary. Available at participating dealers.
I need a data backup solution for my business to replace my current tape backup device.
Do you want to spend a lot of money?
No.
Do you want to store and pay for replicated data?
No.
How about a solution that's difficult to install and use?
No.
Offshore automated phone tree support okay?
No.
Then yes, we can help.
Barracuda Backup. End-to-end protection for physical and virtual servers, including data deduplication to significantly reduce storage requirements, and replicated cloud storage for assured recovery, and live humans to answer your calls. Try Barracuda Backup free. Go to barracuda.com/yes.
Hi, Joan. It's Barry. I'm not gonna make it in today. I'm really stuffed up.
Totally believable, honey.
Thanks. Now let's go.
Whatever it takes, get the Sears Super Saturday sale with Friday Preview. Two huge savings-filled days to get a jump on holiday shopping. This is how to gift. This is Sears. And right now, Shop Your Way Rewards members earn 5% back on Sears card purchases. Offer ends 2/2/13. See Sears.com for details.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not bad from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
Why, you?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called First Shift with Tony Triano.
Welcome back, everybody. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Thursday, the 15th day of November 2012. Great first hour of the program. Appreciate all the callers. Certainly an interesting perspective as we work our way through that 6 o'clock hour. Appreciated everybody that punched in with us this morning. We have a great hour of radio planned for you in this hour. A little later on in the hour, a little bit later on, at about 7:35, we have an attorney out of Ohio who will be joining us. He represents, amongst a lot of things he does, socially repressed groups, the homeless. What's this all about? Well, the Secretary of State, the Republican Secretary of State in Ohio, at the last minute, changed the rules on provisional balloting, and a federal judge slapped him down, basically told him he was a fool for doing what he did, and accused him of voter suppression for all intents and purposes. So we'll talk to this attorney at the bottom of the hour and find out what's happening in Ohio. In the meantime, let's get to our intro, because I can't wait to have the conversations we're going to have with Susan Demas today.
If you have been looking for real journalism, as First Shift has,
then it will come as no surprise
that when we discovered Susan Demas, First Shift made an extraordinary effort to make her one of our regular guests.
And as you will hear in a moment,
the main thing Susan cares about is truth and fortifying her profession as a journalist.
And toward that end,
First Shift hit the jackpot.
As we welcome MERS and M Live journalist Susan Demas.
And joining us now is Susan Demas. We've got two great pieces that she has put together for us that it was a lot of work. I can tell you that much. Susan, I've been so excited to have you on since you sent me topics yesterday. So if you're ready, let's get to it.
Great.
Let's start with the first one, titled Michigan African Americans Turnout Jumps to 16%. Now, it's not just about that, of course. There's a lot of really interesting data in here. I want to go back, though, quite a few weeks where you kept on telling this audience, don't believe this poll, don't believe this, don't believe that. And as I said last week, you were 100% correct. Well, this data really does back up what you were telling us all along, does it not?
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not going to claim to be the smartest guy in the room. I don't do polls myself. It's just, you know, in my line of work, I think it's my job to be able to understand polling methodology and what to look for. So, you know, and to understand my state and my electorate. So these exit polls were very interesting. You know, most polls, even the good ones, went with the assumption that blacks would be 12 or 13% of the electorate. Actually, they were 16% in Michigan. And that accounts, in my mind, a lot for why we saw Obama win by almost 10 points in the end.
Yeah, it's interesting, especially as and I understand that there are still some votes yet to be counted in Michigan, so we may actually see that number, that 9.5% jump to 10%. But I'm not going to concern myself with that too much now. What I do find interesting is we were cautioned during the elections, all of the pundits, that, you know, the minority vote wasn't going to be as strong as it was in 08. The young vote wasn't going to be as strong as it was. Women vote looked like it might go for Romney, according to the quote-unquote polls. And, of course, none of that ended up being true.
Yeah, and I think especially people are kind of on the fact that African-Americans wouldn't be as enthusiastic the second time around to vote for Obama. That was pretty much the conventional wisdom. And it's true that minority voters, young people, tend not to be consistent voters. And so the Obama campaign's ground game really comes in here, where they were talking to voters, you know, for a long time. They were asking for a commitment to vote. They were building personal relationships between people. And that's what turns a sometimes voter into a definite voter. And I think that's where you really saw the evidence that the Obama ground game really did work.
Well, and it really did work. You know, it's interesting, we were talking at the very end of the last hour. Mitt Romney, as I'm sure you've heard, did a conference call with some donors yesterday and said the reason the president won is because he just gave gifts, you know, to young people, to minorities, to women. Of course, I find that interesting because basically what he was saying is the president was successful and was rewarded with reelection, but that's okay, Susan, if you want to spin it as a gift. Go ahead and do that. At the end of the day, what I find encouraging, and you really get into some in-depth detail in this piece that I mentioned, that whether we're talking about the gender gap, whether we're talking about minorities, they were paying attention. That's what your piece said to me, is that constituencies that mattered to Obama were paying attention to what he was doing.
And if you look at how people responded on a lot of the issues, Obama won these debates. 56% said that abortion should be legal. 39% said it should be illegal. The auto bailout was supported by 62% of Michigan voters, and 76% of those people voted for Obama. That made a big difference. You know, certainly on down the line on issues, and this is not just in Michigan, but nationally, Obama is winning the debate. You know, you have almost two-thirds of voters believe in raising taxes, you know, whether it's raising taxes on everybody or just people who make over $250,000. So, you know, you can complain that Obama pandered. We all know what politicians pander. But at the end of the day, more people agreed with Obama on the issues, and they obviously voted for him.
How about the income disparity, those making X amount of dollars? How did that break out for both the president and Governor Romney?
Nationwide, Obama won people who make $50,000 a year or less, and Romney won people who make more. In Michigan, because there was such a large margin, you know, Obama actually, his numbers on people who make over $50,000 were very close to Romney's. He actually won the next grade up, and even with the most wealthy, he was within a few percentage points.
Yeah, it was a little bit surprising. What also is surprising to me when I was reading this article was where people stand on the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. And, you know, really, there's some work to be done from a PR perspective. I think ultimately people are going to love Obamacare. I really believe that that's true. It's clear they still don't understand it because the numbers are not, they're nothing to scream about.
Yeah, people were evenly divided. 47% wanted to repeal some or all of it. 46% wanted to expand or leave it as it is. Nationally, the numbers were very similar. I didn't see that polls that came out this week showed that the approval of the bill was at its all-time high. I don't think that's really a surprise. I mean, Obama won the election. I think a lot of people understood that that meant that Obamacare is going to stay in place at least through 2017. And I think you will see people gradually come to accept it and even like it, especially as provisions kick in, because 2014 is when the full act goes into effect. Usually when it becomes a normal part of your life, you tend to like it more.
Absolutely. And, you know, we can just turn to whether he liked it or not, Massachusetts, where the people in Massachusetts are absolutely in love with Romney Care. They absolutely love it. And so that matters. Very quickly, before we get to the break, you know, some more that we break down is this question of taxes. And again, shockingly, people certainly, and this is, I think, where the president really, we really now see where he wins as we're talking about these issues and we see the exit polling, Susan. People understand, yes, we need to raise taxes. They get that has to happen in order for us to see some stability in our economy, and they're not afraid of that issue.
Yeah. I mean, taxes nationally are at an all-time low. And especially, I think, people don't see any danger in the very wealthiest going from paying 35% to 39.5% like they did during Clinton's presidency.
Yes. Well, again, there was so much interesting stuff in this, including, you know, people still putting the problems with the economy on George W. Bush. I don't know that a past president has ever been such an integral part of a current problem.
That's interesting. You know, you're right. 57% blame Bush for the state of the economy versus 34% for Obama. I mean, that's something that Republicans can't be happy about.
You know, and what's interesting about that is although certainly President Obama mentioned, especially in his first two and a half years, he would reference George W. Bush, and certainly the surrogates talked about the Bush economy, but it wasn't like it wasn't driving the message. It wasn't the centerpiece of commercials during the campaign, again, talked about, but wasn't really the focus. And yet people, I'm happy to say, have good memories. And we've got to, you know, this is the kind of stuff where, as a hack like I am, a political hack like I am, you worry, will people pay attention? They were.
And yeah, I think it would have been a mistake for Obama to have gone that route, because nobody wants to hear a president blame somebody else for the state of problems. But, you know, it shows that people do have memories, and it might be 4 years later, but they remember what George W. Bush's policies were, and, you know, they're pretty similar to what Mitt Romney's economic policies were, too.
Absolutely. Susan Demas, my guest journalist with the Mirror's News Service. We've got to take a quick break here. When we come back, perhaps the most powerful part of the interview coming up. We're going to take a look at pollsters. Who wins, who loses, and why? I'm Tony Trupiano. First Shift continues after this.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano. I'll pay higher taxes. I look at it this way. I can pay higher taxes and people can have jobs, or I can pay lower taxes and I have my kid's teacher asking me for a loan because she's going to lose her house, which is true.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your commute. We're just watching some slow traffic on 75 southbound between 9 Mile and 8 Mile. And the same for 94 westbound between Vernier and Moross. Coming up at 9 a.m., 75 in both directions at 7 Mile. Left lane is going to be closed. And 75 northbound just before Dearborn Street. Right lane is going to be closed until 6 p.m. on Friday. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be partly cloudy and 45. Tonight, a low of 31. Tomorrow, sunny and 50 degrees. And it's currently 35 outside right now. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Hi, Tony Truffiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, Diggity?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Truppiano on Twitter.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Truppiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 7 o'clock. Susan Demas is my guest, journalist with the Mirror's News Service. The next piece that we're going to talk about is titled Most Accurate Michigan Pollster, PPP Most Accurate Michigan Pollster, Foster Worst. And I have to tell you, Susan, when I got up this morning at 2:30 and saw this in my inbox, I was riveted. I'm not often riveted at 2:30 in the morning, I assure you. This is one good piece of journalism, and I think it's important as we break this information down over the next 8 minutes or so that people pay attention. Remember these names because accuracy counts. Now, I realize that polling isn't an exact science, but there is a science here, Susan.
There is, and that's not to say that pollsters won't adjust their models for 2014, and some of these folks could do very good work. But in terms of this election, you know, when I was crunching the numbers, what I found was that public policy polling, which is a Democratic firm out of North Carolina, actually was the most accurate and averaged that Obama would win by 8 points. Now, the least accurate pollster is a Detroit pollster. It's Foster McCollum, White Van Doon, and they polled for Fox 2 in Detroit. And they only found that Obama would win by an eighth of a tenth 6%, and they actually had Romney leading in two of their most recent polls before the election.
Well, Susan, they took a lot of criticism for their polling, not just not just locally, but nationally as well. I mean, if their purpose was to get attention, they got plenty. I don't know what's the kind they wanted, but they got plenty.
You know, and I do know Eric Foster, and, you know, I don't think his goal was to be inaccurate. I think he thought that his model was correct, and it would be a very old and white electorate, which it was not. However, you know, he really was an outlier, and, you know, it turns out, you know, when Obama wins by almost 10 points, that's a pretty stark difference between his results and what actually happened.
Well, and that is the point. There is, you know, that's what tells the story, you know, what they end up telling us and then what actually happens. And it's not hard to compare those two numbers. And you can be quite objective in this, Susan. It's not like you needed to use some scientific model. You just take a look at the reality and you juxtapose them together. And there's your answer.
Right. And, you know, obviously, a lot of times people might only catch a poll or two. And if you caught a Foster poll, boy, you were probably pretty shocked by what happened on election night because, you know, the last poll that Foster had Romney up by 1 point, and that was just on the Saturday before Election Day.
Well, let's talk. Foster did make a statement that they were going to be reexamining their model, and I guess that's a nice way of saying, well, maybe we need to do it different, huh?
Absolutely. And, you know, out of fairness, the electorate in 2014 is going to look different than in 2012. There are a lot of, you know, people vote for different reasons. And frankly, Democrats turn out a lot more for presidential elections than they do for off year. So, you know, their model might not need to change radically for 14, but certainly they're going to want to look at the qualified voter file and find out what happened and what's the best model to look at for the next cycle.
Let's take a look at, probably the best known firm in Michigan, which is Epic MRA. How did they do in your analysis, Susan Demas?
Epic actually, I looked at six firms that regularly poll in Michigan. There were 14 firms total. But, you know, a lot of them, you know, maybe stopped polling in June or only did a couple and those firms are largely out of state as well. So of the six firms, Epic came in fourth most accurate. They were pretty consistent with having Obama in the lead, but it was with a smaller lead than, he ultimately ended up with. And that's true of their work, both, you know, towards the end of the campaign and throughout.
And what about Mitchell Research? And I've had issues with them, to be honest with you, since the Freeman Hendricks, Kwame Kilpatrick mayoral election.
Mitchell was the second least accurate pollster. And, you know, he found that Obama, you know, in his last poll was up 5 points, but, you know, in one of his previous polls, he had Romney up a little bit. I do know he adjusted his model at the end. He was using blacks at 8%, which, remember, they ended up at 16. That would be half. So it's not a surprise he got Romney in the lead using that model back in July. At the end, he used 12%, and he found that Obama was up 5. As we know, it's about double that.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I said this piece was riveting. It is riveting for a variety of reasons. And you know, certainly we filter all of this information, the partisans like I do anyway, Susan, filter all this information based on their partisanship. So when you see a poll that you want to believe, they're a great pollster. When you see a poll that you don't want to believe, you say, well, they're not very good. So this analysis becomes riveting for me because it allows me, and I realize that we have different models in different years, and I get that, but it also helps me, the reader, me, the political reader, to take a different look at these polls and weigh them differently. And so from that perspective, I'm very appreciative that you did this analysis because, again, this isn't, Now, this isn't guesswork. You really take hard data and you juxtapose it against what happened, and there's your results. So this was quite appreciated.
I appreciate that you liked it. You know, one thing that I found interesting is Rasmussen, which is a Republican firm. Their polls nationally were terrible, as you know. But in Michigan, actually, they were in the middle of the pack. They always had Obama up, and, you know, they were fine here. Their model worked okay. Glenn Gariff Group was the second most accurate pollster. They polled for the Detroit News. And actually, the Michigan Republican Party got very upset about some of their polls because they did show Obama with substantial leads at some points. He was up 14 in one, actually, in September. Their polling was proven to be pretty accurate. Their last poll was not. It had Obama only up 3. But for the breadth of work, their polling has been very solid. And, you know, hopefully people on the Republican side might think twice before they criticize them in the future.
Well, it's interesting. And I remember when that happened, the reason the Democrats were upset is they didn't want people thinking that the president had this in the bag, that they didn't need to work hard, that they didn't need to keep pushing. And, you know, I had a handful of Democrats on this show saying, don't believe that polling. He's not up that much. And, you know, there's something wrong. Okay, relax, guys. It's September. It's September, for God's sake.
Right. And, you know, polling, you know, it can obviously be used as a political tool, you know, for fundraising and enthusiasm. But at the end of the day, what pollsters are supposed to do is capture what the electorate is thinking at that time so that we know where we're at.
Absolutely. Susan, I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving, as next Thursday will be Thanksgiving Day, and I'll be eating turkey, as will you. So we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Great. Thank you.
Susan Demas, once again. Quick break, more to get to on the other side.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by World Wrestling Entertainment.
Checking your traffic, and you're not doing too bad on your commute unless you're in the Petersburg area where you have that accident that has your right shoulder blocked. Tractor trailer is on its side on US 23 northbound just after Summerfield Road. The rest is just slow traffic on 696 westbound between DeQuinder and 75. Also on 75 northbound between West Road and Dix Toledo Highway. And slow moving on southbound 75 between 14 Mile and 8 Mile, and on eastbound 96 between Wixom and Beck Road. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Don't miss your favorite superstars at WWE Survivor Series this Sunday at 8 p.m. live on pay-per-view from Xfinity. To order, go to Xfinity.com/WWE or press menu twice on your remote.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 45. Tonight, a low of 31. Tomorrow, sunny and 50 degrees. And it's currently 35 outside right now. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. Walmart warehouse workers on Wednesday filed unfair labor practice charges with the National Labor Relations Board against 4 employers: Schneider Logistics, Roadlink Workforce Solutions, Select Remedy, and Skyward Employment Service. The workers allege that the employers used illegal threats, intimidation, and discipline against workers organizing for improved working conditions. These employers hire workers to move Walmart merchandise in a warehouse in Elmwood, Illinois. At a Walmart-controlled warehouse in Mira Loma, California, meanwhile, dozens of workers walked off their jobs Wednesday to call for an end to retaliation against workers fighting for fair treatment and safe conditions. 63 CEOs representing the largest U.S. corporations have launched a campaign calling for $134 billion in tax breaks. According to a report by the Institute for Policy Studies, the corporations want the U.S. to switch to a territorial corporate tax system, similar to a Mitt Romney proposal. The report says if that happens, these corporations could reap tax breaks of up to $134 billion. Under the guise of fixing the debt, these corporations want to exempt foreign earnings from U.S. taxation. The single biggest beneficiary, if this corporate tax system were adopted, would be General Electric, which has overseas earnings of roughly $102 billion.
Actual U.S. corporate tax revenue has plunged despite a 60-year high in corporate profits. Labor and community activists in Chicago are protesting Mayor Rahm Emanuel's 2013 budget cuts. On Tuesday, hundreds of protesters staged a die-in, sprawling on the floor at the mayor's office to represent what they say will be the devastation the mayor's austerity budget will cause in Chicago neighborhoods. The activists say hundreds of good jobs will be lost and public safety and health will be threatened by the mayor's budget cuts. Several European Union member countries saw strike action on Wednesday as citizens protested governmental decisions to use austerity measures to reduce debt. The measures have led to hundreds of thousands of workers seeing their salaries, pensions, and benefits slashed. The strike was called by the European Trade Union Confederation, which has members in 36 countries. The world has already watched strike action unfold over the last 2 years in Spain, Greece, and Italy. But yesterday, those countries were joined by workers in France, Slovenia, the Czech Republic, and other nations. Most of the protests remained peaceful, but some protests in Spain and Italy did see riot police descending on protesters using rubber bullets and tear gas. Wednesday's strike was the second in Spain this year and nearly shut down the entire country with workers from many sectors participating. 74 people were injured during a clash with police in Madrid.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Become informed. Learn the truth. Stand and be recognized. You are tuned in to WDTW, 1310 AM. And it's time to get to work on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Thursday morning. Well, we know we have our hands full with our Republican Secretary of State, Ruth Johnson. We have our hands full, and we know that she continues to try to disenfranchise voters. Perhaps she's been, I don't know, slipping notes back and forth with our neighbor state, Ohio, where their Republican Secretary of State received quite a, I got to be careful how I say this. Let's just say he was corrected by a federal judge who said that he was way overreaching the boundaries of election law. What had happened was in a 17-page ruling, U.S. District Judge Eldron Marbley said that a directive on counting provisional ballots in Ohio, and it was a directive that came down from the Ohio Secretary of State, John Husted, was issued on November 2nd. It was a quote-unquote flagrant violation of a state election law that could disenfranchise voters. Joining us now is Subodh Chandra. Subodh is an attorney with the Northeast Ohio Coalition for the Homeless, who is here to help us work through what happened and why it's important that we have this discussion. Subodh, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for shedding light on the issue for folks to know.
Well, you know, it's important as we see. I mean, we saw this, Subodh, certainly in many states. We saw it here in Michigan, obviously in Ohio. We saw it in Pennsylvania. We saw it in Indiana. And I could go on in Florida. You know, there's a real problem. And I got to tell you, I received a communication from a listener the day after the election that said, we should be embarrassed that we try to uphold ourselves as a beacon of light for the world, and this is the way we treat our voters. And I think that there's some legitimacy to that comment.
There is, and the court recognized that in its opinion. You know, to give you a little bit of background on this, because it's important for folks to understand how we got here, the lawsuit that we're talking about was actually first brought on behalf of the Northeast Ohio Coalition for the Homeless in 2006, and other groups as well, and individuals. That was in 2006, and it was originally a challenge to Ohio's voter ID statute, because what the fellow who's now the Secretary of State, John Husted, was then the Speaker of the House, and what they passed was a law that, you know, again, most folks superficially would say, well, okay, why shouldn't we have ID? And you can understand that concept, but the way they wrote the law is they wrote out the poorest of the poor. So if you have a paid form of identification, what we used to call in this country an illegal poll tax, like a state-paid driver's license means you got to have a car, a bank statement in your name means you got to have money, a utility statement in your name means you got to have property. If you had one of those things, you could vote on election day. But if you had the one thing that poor people have, which is their social security number to prove identity, you couldn't vote on election day. It was written out of the statute. So we we had a federal consent decree as a result of that case that ordered that poor people would be able to vote provisionally on Election Day and their votes would be counted using the Social Security number. And, of course, the state could then verify their identities by checking those Social Security numbers. That's what the court order was, and that's what Judge Marbley said was violated with Husted's 11th hour decree on the Friday night before the election. He turned the rules around and said that votes would be discarded where the form, the section of the form he'd created for recording what the ID was somehow incomplete or missing. When state law provides, it's the poll worker's job to do it. So imagine what's really going on here. You have a so-called conservative taking the position that when a government bureaucrat screws up and doesn't do their job, your individual liberty should be sacrificed.
You know, and
it doesn't make any sense at all.
It makes no sense at all. And, you know, it kind of goes back to an issue we had here in Michigan. And of course, I did some research on this. Other states have these problems as well. We're having poll workers that are not properly trained. And instead of the secretaries of state taking responsibility for the lack of training or improper training, this tries to put the burden on the voter themselves. And sweet God, Sabote, I mean, how can we ever think that the voter will know right from wrong on these issues when the poll workers don't know what they're doing?
That's right. And some of the evidence that we submitted to the court this last week, and think about this, the election was last Tuesday, and within a matter of days, we were able to find evidence that Husted's directive didn't even work because sometimes the poll workers were having the voters fill out that portion of the form as he directed. Sometimes the poll workers were filling it out. Sometimes they were doing a combination where the poll worker would fill out a portion, the voter would fill out a portion. And so you had a kind of chaos going, and clearly, some of the poll workers were saying in their sworn testimony that, hey, we didn't know what the rules were. We were confused by the training. So what this is, and because let's take a step back. I mean, folks will listen to the details and say, why does this matter? What matters is that every single one of these tactics that the Secretary of State of Ohio was undertaking over the course of the last several months all had the effect. I can't speak to his intention, but they all had the effect of shaving off a little percentage here, a little percentage there, of the voters that tend to be poor, which, as we know, statistically, tend to vote for the party that he's not a part of.
Okay, fair enough, and I think that that's an accurate assessment. Let's go back to a moment to Judge Marbley's 17-page ruling. A 17-page, I want to kind of underline and boldface that because for those of us that read it, and we'll get it posted to our Facebook page, and I really do want to encourage people to read it. This judge basically was sending not just a message to Ohio, not just a message to Don Husted, but sending a message to the country that we cannot disenfranchise voters. There are laws that protect these things, and we should honor them.
Absolutely. That was what he was saying. And, you know, Judge Marbley in this case has made it clear at every stage for the last 6 years that he's going to be protective of the right to franchise. He understands the state's interest in trying to protect against potentially fraudulent voting, although there's no evidence in the record whatsoever that that's occurring or has occurred. He understands the state's interest in that, but at the same time, you can't peel off and disenfranchise segments of the electorate.
Well, again, it's one of those, it's certainly, in fact, I found that decision to be so well-written and such common sense, I literally printed a copy and filed it so that I could pull it out from time to time to remind myself how important it is that we continue to fight this good fight. And Sabote Chandra, I would think especially, and I'll ask you to tell us a little bit about the Northeast Ohio Coalition for the Homeless, but I would think that advocating on behalf of a community that some of them have is that right to vote. And I mean, that's all some of them have. We need to protect that at all costs.
Well, it was very moving in 2006, and I think one of the reasons we had this consent decree, one of the reasons that the court issued the order, and at that time, then Republican Secretary of State Ken Blackwell and Republican Attorney General Jim Petro entered into it, was because they were going to lose. We had a parade of witnesses in the courtroom ready to testify that they had been able to vote their whole lives, But as a result of that voter ID statute, they suddenly found themselves disenfranchised. And so the order ensured that they would be able to vote and their votes would be counted. You know, you spoke of Judge Marbley's opinion. I'm looking at it right now myself, and there's some extraordinary language in here that I have, you know, rarely seen in a judicial opinion. I mean, the court really calls out the Secretary of State for what's really going on here. He says, quote, "The surreptitious manner in which the Secretary went about implementing this last-minute change to the election rule casts serious doubts on his protestations of good faith." I mean, the court is very pointedly saying, you know, don't sit here and, you know, don't, as the old expression goes, piss on my leg and tell me it's raining. I mean, that is an extraordinary statement by the court, really effectively questioning the intentions of the Secretary of State.
Well, you know, and I'm glad that that happened, but I'm going to tell you why. Whether the Secretary of State were a Republican or a Democrat, here's one thing that that office should be. It should be above reproach. It's that office should be about protecting the integrity of every person's right to vote. And when they breach that, as John Houston clearly did, then they need to be called out for it, because this office should be nonpartisan. And not unlike Michigan, clearly it's not. And that's what the judge was saying, in my opinion.
That's right. And one of the things that your listeners should understand is this particular opinion about this particular scheme, which was disenfranchising voters where there might be a technical defect on the form that they fill out on Election Day, is just one of many, many things that the Secretary of State did in connection with the 2012 election that had a suppressive effect. I mean, I'll give you a few examples, and it's just a few of them, that are going to sound absurd to your listeners, but this is what we experienced in Ohio. You all in Michigan probably have early voting.
No, we don't.
You don't? Okay, well, in Ohio we do, and we did. And in 2008, it came in increasing demand because of the long lines. People really wanted to vote early and lock their votes in. And so the weekend before the election, thousands of people, particularly in the urban counties where the lines can get long, took advantage of early voting in 2008. What the secretary then did was try to curtail that and end it on the weekend before the election. He was taken to federal court by the Obama campaign. It was ordered that the early voting had to continue and had to proceed. And then, initially, he defied the federal order and said, well, I'm not going to implement that now. I'm going to wait for the appeals. And then the judge said, I want you to in my courtroom next week. And then he caved. But he curtailed the number of hours. So the number of overall early voting hours was much smaller. As a result, fewer people early voted because working folks got to work outside of regular business.
Absolutely. Sabo, let me ask you to stay with us. We've got to get to a break, but we'll be right back. This is First Shift. Trust me, more to come. This story is not done being told.
I've always thought it as something that's still holding the country back. You choose to love whoever you love. It's no different than discriminating against blacks. It's discrimination, plain and simple.
On 1310 WDTW.
I think it's the right thing to do. So whether it costs them votes or not, it's really not about votes. It's about people.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Unions work.
One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift,
Pastor Reverend D. Alexander Bullock.
If we're organized, then we can push the elected officials to represent the people, to make sure that resources are expanded and spread throughout the region in a way that is equitable and helpful for all people. We should have no child left behind, no community left behind. We should not have a race to the bottom, but there should be a floor for the poor and indeed a roof for the rich.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano on 1310 WD.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Tribbiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Tribbiano on Twitter.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
10 minutes before 8 o'clock, my guest once again is Subodh Chandra. He is an attorney with the Northeast Ohio Coalition for the Homeless. Before we go any further, Subodh, could you tell us a little bit about the Northeast Ohio Coalition for the Homeless?
Sure. The Northeast Ohio Coalition for the Homeless is an organization based in Cleveland that is a member organization, essentially, of people who are homeless and are poor, and it provides services to them, provides counseling, assists them in finding shelter, assist them with issues like this, voting rights issues or other issues in which people's civil rights are being violated. And it's really been at the vanguard, as I said, since 2006 of taking on these issues of voter suppression. And I really give a lot of credit to a shoestring budget organization with community organizers who really try to take care of the poorest of the poor in our community.
No, it's wonderful. It sounds very much like the function of our local Sugar Law Center. And it's just good to know that organizations like the Northeast Ohio Coalition for the Homeless exist and certainly are advocates for all of us. You know, I preach often, Subodh, on this show that the one thing that we all have in common, whether you're one of the Koch brothers or whether you can't afford to buy a Coke, is we all have a right or should have a right to vote and make sure our vote counts. And that's really, honestly, at the end of the day, the foundation of this story, that's what this is about.
Well, we hold ourselves out to the world as Americans as having a model democracy, as being a place where every voice is heard, and having a representative government. And so what I find shocking, and I shouldn't be shocked anymore because I've now seen many years of these kinds of schemes, but it continues to shock me that there are people who simply want to change the rules of the game and don't want every voice to be heard and don't want every vote to count and are willing to do whatever it takes or is necessary to try to suppress that vote. I'd be ashamed of myself if I lived in the greatest democracy in the world and I kept trying to make it not a democracy, and yet there are people willing to do that.
Well, I said this story before the break. This story is not being done being told, and unfortunately that's true. Your Secretary of State, John Husted, has decided to appeal the judge's ruling, which, by the way, was pretty black and white.
He did, and perhaps he's taking some comfort in that with a three-judge panel in the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is removed from the situation, and with the mix of ideology of the various judges there, that perhaps he has a shot at overturning this. But Judge Marbley was very clear in his order, and we put this into our brief that we filed in the middle of the night. He was pretty clear that it was his own consent decree that he was interpreting. It was, and that the law clearly provides that a judge has the discretion to interpret their own order. And So, you know, we'll see what happens. I will never predict the future on these kinds of court rulings. Things bounce around. But Secretary Husted has a record now of losing these issues. Before the break, I was telling you about some of the other things he'd done. I'll give you one other example that's just extraordinary. And every single one of your listeners is going to understand it. Imagine you go in an urban area or a suburban area to a polling location where there are multiple precincts. And you walk up to the table, and your poll worker directs you to the wrong table, to the wrong precinct. This happened to thousands of voters in 2008. It happens all the time in these busy areas. So you get directed to the wrong table. They say you're not on the list, and then they have you vote provisionally. Secretary Husted's position to the courts was that you should be disenfranchised, even though it was the government worker that was responsible for the error. And the Sixth Circuit and Judge Marbley just shut him down on that and said, no, that doesn't make any sense at all to hold the voter accountable for poll worker error. But this is the kind of thing we're talking about.
Well, not to mention the fact that when he goes to appeal, when Secretary Husted goes to appeal this, it's paid for with taxpayer dollars.
It is. And one of the people who should not escape accountability in this, because this discussion has been focused on Secretary Husted, it is the Republican Attorney General of Ohio, Mike DeWine, the former U.S. Senator, who has been working in lockstep with the Secretary of State on this. It's not just the Secretary of State who is defending this case. It is the state of Ohio, and the state of Ohio has been taking the same position in court, and you're absolutely right. Taxpayer resources are being spent in defense of these kinds of unconstitutional acts.
Well, and unfortunately, Spode, we have way too much in common. Our Attorney General, also a former member of Congress, not the Senate, working in cahoots with our Secretary of State, who they both happen to be Republican. In fact, yesterday she released a statement that she would not support early voting, but would support no excuse absentee voting as a substitute. And you and I both know it's not a substitute at all.
Well, that's right. And you know, one of the more interesting things about this that I'm sure your listeners will appreciate is, at the end of the day, I think a lot of these efforts backfired. I mean, to the extent that any of these efforts were an effort to try to tilt the playing field by a percentage point or two or more in favor of one political party, the effect that it had in Northeast Ohio, the effect that it had across Ohio, I think as people started hearing about these things, it underscored their determination to vote. And people stood in line for hours, and people made sure that they were voting and fought to have their vote count. What we're fighting over now is the counting of provisional ballots to make sure that votes count. It may not affect the outcome of a presidential election. It may affect the outcome of only, you know, some other races at the state rep level that we have that are very close, or some of the judicial races. It may affect no races at all. But as you keep pointing out, the dignity of every single one of those votes counts and matters.
Yeah, absolutely. And you and I could probably easily spend another hour going through Judge Marbley's decision. You know, one of the things that I picked up on was, and it was actually in one of the articles that I read, it says, Marbley said that the form illegally shifted the responsibility for recording identification information from the provisional ballot application from the poll worker to the voter, which we, of course, talked about. He went on to say throughout the ruling that he criticized the provisional ballot application that Secretary Husted designed for the presidential election, saying, and he questioned whether the poor drafting was, quote, by design or accident. Well, there's an accusation for you, Sabode.
Well, it was an extraordinary statement, along with the observation about the surreptitious manner in which this was done on the Friday night before the election, with the secretary always protesting, oh, you can't have last-minute election changes whenever he's opposing our efforts. So these are some extraordinary observations by the court, really calling out the secretary. And what we hope is that the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals will pay due deference to the judge here, the federal district judge. Sometimes in these kinds of politically charged cases, there's the old adage that lawyers have that bad facts make bad law. We are resting on basic, well-established legal principles, due process, equal protection of the law, a federal judge's right to interpret his own consent decree. That consent decree was entered into by the parties. I mean, Husted tried to get out of this consent decree earlier this year altogether, eliminating the protections of the consent decree, and he was shut down in that as well. So we hope that the Court of Appeals will adhere to well-established legal principles and not undermine the efforts of the district.
Well, we are just out of time, but I got to tell you, we're going to continue to follow this. Don't be surprised if we don't reach back to you and have this discussion again. I can't thank you enough for your time this morning.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
I appreciate it. Subodh Chandra. Let's take a quick break here. David Hecker, president of the AFT Michigan, when we continue.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, and you're not doing too bad on your commute unless you're in the Petersburg area where you have that accident that has your right shoulder blocked. Tractor trailer is on its side on US 23 northbound just after Summerfield Road. The rest is just slow traffic on 696 westbound between DeQuinder and 75. Also on 75 northbound between West Road and Dix Toledo Highway. And slow moving on southbound 75 between 14 Mile and 8 Mile. And on eastbound 96 between Wixom and Beck Road. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 45. Tonight, a low of 31. Tomorrow, sunny and 50 degrees. And it's currently 35 outside right now. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Listen on iHeartRadio. NBC News is next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Mikulski. Fears of a wider Mideast war. Now that Israel has suffered its first casualty since its assault into Gaza that took out the top military commander of Hamas. NBC's Martin Fletcher in Tel Aviv.
This is an area on the brink of war, which nobody seems to really want, but Israel is determined to stop those rockets from the Palestinians in Gaza hitting Israeli cities.
Three Israelis killed today when a rocket from Gaza slammed into their apartment. President Obama back in storm mode today. He's visiting families in New York City, still without power from Hurricane Sandy. More than 2 weeks without juice now. Losses from Sandy estimated at $50 billion. Wall Street still bearish this morning. Stock futures point to a lower open after yesterday's plunge. And is it twilight for Twinkies? Hostess brands say it will ask a U.S. bankruptcy judge for permission to liquidate if striking workers don't return today. Not just Twinkies at stake here, but Ring Dings, Yodels, and Wonder Bread, too. This is NBC News Radio. Talking taxes and avoiding the fiscal cliff. President Obama calling on Congress to lock in the Bush-era tax cuts for those earning less than $250,000.
We don't want middle-class taxes to go up. Let's go ahead and lock that in. That will be good for the economy. It will be good for consumers. It will be good for businesses. It takes the edge off the fiscal cliff.
But Republicans say raising taxes for the wealthiest will cost U.S. jobs. Figures out today show the 17-nation Eurozone officially back in a recession. Third quarter growth contracted by a tenth of a point. Economists not surprised, saying the crushing debt throughout Europe putting a damper on growth. Even Germany said to be struggling now. And Tebow is getting Tebowed. New York Jets quarterback Tim Tebow spreading the gospel of Tebow, signing on with a DVR pioneer and an ad campaign that kicks off after Thanksgiving. Tebow on the comeback trail after losing subscribers in recent years. Now, if the Jets could only win a game. I'm Jim Mikulski, NBC News Radio.
Hi, Joan. It's Barry. I'm not going to make it in today. I'm really stuffed up.
Totally believable, honey.
Thanks. Now let's go.
Whatever it takes, get to Sears Super Saturday Sale with Friday Preview. Two huge savings-filled days to get a jump on holiday shopping. This is how to gift. This is Sears. And right now, Shop Your Way Rewards members earn 5% back on Sears card purchases. Offer ends 2/2/13. See Sears.com for details.
Here at Hotels.com, we only do hotels. If you want a romantic suite, a view of the sea, or even a room made of ice, ask us. We'll find it.
Well, can you do anything else? Like yodel? That was different.
Like I said, we know what we're doing when it comes to hotels. In fact, we have over 150,000 hotels worldwide.
Hotels.com. Finding you the perfect place is all we do. Check out amazing deals in Chicago, Indianapolis, and Washington, D.C.
We're getting some fresh earnings reports this hour, and it's not going too well. Two of the biggest names in retail both report stronger than expected profits for the July through September period, highlighted by back-to-school shopping. But both Walmart and Target reached their goals by cost controlling because sales came in a bit below forecast. Stock in Walmart and Target both lower pre-market trades. That's helping pull on our stock futures. Right now, S&P futures up just a point. NASDAQ futures up 3. Dow futures losing 16 points. One earnings highlight, though, Limited Brands, parent of Victoria's Secret, is reporting better than expected earnings and sales, even though they were drops from a year ago. Back in September, our nation saw the fewest home foreclosures it had seen any month in more than 5 years. This morning, we learned that in October, the foreclosure rate ticked higher again, up 3%. But versus a year ago, we are still trending way down. 19% drop in number of foreclosed properties October last year to October this year. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
My Mercedes-Benz technicians know my car inside and out.
They arrived at my house and changed my tire in minutes. They had me on my way.
Prepaying for my maintenance is so easy and convenient. It's one less thing.
Personal attention and exceptional customer care. As a Mercedes-Benz owner, it's what you deserve and what you'll get.
My go-to guides.
My rescue squad.
My road ahead. My service.
To learn more, visit mbusa.com/myservice.
Services vary. Available at participating dealers.
I need a data backup solution for my business to replace my current tape backup device.
Do you want to spend a lot of money?
No.
Do you want to store and pay for replicated data?
No.
How about a solution that's difficult to install and use?
No.
Offshore automated phone tree support okay?
No.
Then yes, we can help.
Barracuda Backup. End-to-end protection for physical and virtual servers, including data deduplication to significantly reduce storage requirements, and replicated cloud storage for assured recovery, and live humans to answer your calls. Try Barracuda Backup free. Go to barracuda.com/yes.
Hi, Jode. It's Barry. I'm not gonna make it in today. I'm really stuffed up.
Totally believable, honey.
Thanks. Now let's go.
Whatever it takes, get to Sears Super Saturday Sale with Friday Preview. Two huge savings filled days to get a jump on holiday shopping. This is how to gift. This is Sears. And right now, Shop Your Way Rewards members earn 5% back on Sears card purchases. Offer ends 2/2/13. See Sears.com for details.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half.
We are in strange times. Politicians would rather fight against each other instead of for the country. People worry about Wall Street daily. But what about Main Street? Who was on our side? What do we have going for us? We've got First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
On 1310
WDTW.
Indeed it is. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Thursday, the 15th day of November 2012. And our Labor Day Thursdays begin with David Hecker in just a few moments. I remind you, our toll-free number, if you would like to join us at any time throughout the program, 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. On Twitter, you'll find us at Tony Trupiano. We've had a pretty extraordinary morning this morning. Appreciate all of our guests and certainly appreciate our next one. So if I can have an intro, please, we'll get going.
The empowering voice of the American Federation of Teachers, Michigan.
What these private for-profits do, they push and push and push students to take out these loans to get the education, and they're pushing people and pushing people, just take out the loan, you'll get this education. And sometimes the education doesn't provide what the student needs, and the student walks out with a major debt, and the college is happy because the college made a profit.
In with Tony is President David Hecker.
And we joining us now is President David Hecker. David, it's a pleasure to have you with us. It was great to see you on Saturday evening. And here we are post-election and no less busy than we were 2 weeks ago.
It never stops. Thanks. It's great to be on. It was great to see you. It was a great event, the Democratic Socialists of America, Saturday night, honoring two great people for their work on health care and fighting against foreclosures.
Absolutely.
That was a great event. And let me, before we get into
the show. Let me thank you for everything you did to support Prop 2. You were everywhere. Everywhere anyone wanted you or needed you to be, the show, but well on top of the show. You just did, as always, tremendous work to help get that passed. Unfortunately, we were not successful.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, one of the things that I think I've tried to emulate is that I don't just do a radio show. This is my life, and right. I'm no different off the air than
That's
I am
clear.
On the air. And these things matter to me. They still matter to me. So I understand the fight. We're going to talk about that fight a little bit mm-hmm. in this hour, but that was very nice of you to say. I want to talk about the Educational Achievement Authority, if we can start with that. And, man, that sounds great, doesn't it? The Educational Achievement Authority. It sounds really cool. Is it really cool?
It's a great name. You know, as people know, the Education Achievement Authority was set up. Right now, it includes 15 schools that were part of Detroit Public Schools, low performing schools, and they were put into this new school district, no longer in DPS. They're in the Education Achievement Authority, EAA. And now there's legislation introduced to greatly, greatly expand EAA. The intent from the beginning was to make it a statewide district, starting with the schools in Detroit. But now there's legislation that would mandate that any school throughout the state that is in the bottom 5% of performance for 3 consecutive years goes into EAA. Under the current law, those schools qualify for it, but every situation is judged separately to decide whether or not they should go in. Now it's mandated. Something we question, we sort of kid around about this, but we question if some of the people behind this legislation understand there will always be a bottom 5%. The bottom 5% could be a fantastic school. But
you know,
by
definition, you make a very good point there.
There's always a bottom five. There's always a bottom 5%, and so you know this would be schools from around the state in sort of one statewide district, yanking those schools out of the school district of the local community, taking those schools while physically in that community and serving kids in that community, really taking those schools away from the overall school board work with those schools, et cetera. They no longer be part of that school district. This law would also require that any school district that has an empty building, first of all, must keep it in tip-top shape and must list it in the marketplace. And if another education entity wants to buy it, they have to sell it to them. So could you imagine if General Motors had an automobile plant and they had one right, you know, they had one down the road from it and that one was empty and there was a law to mandate that they had to sell that to Ford or they had to sell it to Chrysler or Nissan or Toyota. I mean, people would be crying socialism, right?
Imagine that.
Imagine that. They would never, they always say, let the marketplace run our schools, which we think is absurd because schools are not private for-profit. Their bottom line is a kid's education, not the dollar. But they would never tell the private sector that if you have an empty building, you have to sell it to a competitor.
Not to mention, again, I don't want to discount the cost of maintaining that building,
right.
Keeping it. And that,
while
that comes,
funding is drastically cut, so that money comes out of educating the kids. You're still responsible and want to educate in your district. There are also aspects of this new law which would further undercut collective bargaining.
Here, yeah, we had Shaitan Barry on with the Michigan PTA on, I believe it was Monday's program, might have been Tuesday, but it's irrelevant. And, you know, one of the things that she said, she was here to talk about the parental trigger legislation, but one of the things she continually said, and we did get onto this issue, she said, why are we not waiting until we have something to measure? till we have a proof that something works or doesn't
right.
work. And I think that that's such a nonpartisan way to look at this.
It's an EAA has been operating for what? Oh, yeah, 2 months. 2 months. You know, we didn't. There's no reason for EAA in the first place. Everything being done within EAA can be done in a traditional school district. Okay, we lost that fight. EAA is here, though there's another aspect of it, which we'll talk about in a minute, but as to what happened with PA4.
Right.
And I'll win on that. But, okay, EAA is here. 2 months. There is no proof whatsoever that what they're doing in EAA is better than what's going on in traditional school districts. No proof at all. At the end of this year, if there is data that shows what's happening in EAA is just fantastic, well, let's duplicate it every place else, but let's see that data. And now they just want to dramatically expand it without, as she said, without any research or data to back up. A reason for expanding it. You know, yesterday I was talking to some business leaders, and I said, you know, we have one criteria for what should happen in education, and that is it research-based? If it's research-based, and maybe there's some aspects that we don't really like because it affects this or affects that, if it's research-based, let's go with it. But don't just throw something on the table that sounds good, has a good name, that you have in place for 2 months, and now you want to expand with no proof that it actually works.
And I guess, you know, part of my brain is saying this is counterintuitive. We were just saying this to the educational model. How can you force upon an educational institution a non-measurable goal or result without knowing how to measure, how to weigh, how to compare it? There's nothing there. I mean, this is literally prestidigitation. It's magic. All of a sudden, it's just magic. It's great dialogue, but it has absolutely no basis in reality.
It's another, you know, let's just try this, let's just try that, which goes on in education all the time by people who don't know education. And I do think, I've said this before, I think term limits is a major problem in a lot of ways, but it's a major problem when it comes to education because people are there for 6 years, some longer if they hop over to the Senate, but are there for 6 years, and during those 6 years, they want to be able to say, hey, look what we put in place. They don't have the time because they're limited to 6 years to really say, let's put into place something that's proven to work. And over time, we'll see that it does work. It doesn't have the big splash. It doesn't have, you know, let's increase funding to lower class size, right?
Right.
That will work. That doesn't have the big splash as we're setting up an education achievement authority, and we're doing this different and we're doing that different. When we know what needs to be done, we've said it many times, to enhance public education, but it's not as flashy as this stuff is, and these people want to show something flashy, I think, during their short time in office. If they had the democratic right, if I agree with them or not, if they had the democratic right to run for office and have the people decide if they want them or not, instead of being artificially limited, they may sit back and say, you know, let's do this right. I don't need a flash in the pan. Let's just, you know, I hope to be here for a while as an elected official. Let's just work this through the right way.
Well, you know, and we can also, certainly, I think part of this discussion should involve, if we take a look at 6 years, the Educational Achievement Authority, is 6 years even enough time to tell us, yes, this model works,
right.
No, this model? And we need to be very deliberate about this because it literally affects anybody that has school-age children in the K through 12 model. We've got to take a break. Let's get to that. We'll come back and talk more about this. David Hecker, again, my guest, president of the American Federation of Teachers Michigan. If you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595. But let's get to the break. We'll continue on 1310 WDTW right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
We picked up some more accidents on your rush hour commute. Let's head over to 94 eastbound just after Jackson Avenue. Accident has both lanes blocked with stop and go traffic from M14. And traffic is getting by on the right shoulder only. 96 eastbound at Inkster Road. Accident has your right shoulder blocked with slow traffic from Orchard Lake Road. Southbound 75 just before 696. Accident has your right shoulder blocked there. And your left lane is blocked on Southfield Freeway southbound at McNichols. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be partly cloudy and 45. Tonight, a low of 31. Tomorrow, sunny and 50 degrees. And it's currently 35 outside right now. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Ross, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, feed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020 Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have that peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
We want to hear from you. Interact with First Shift. Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page. Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595. Now, back to the show and Tony.
And welcome back. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock. David Hecker again with me, president of the American Federation of Teachers, Michigan. We're talking about the Educational Achievement Authority, amongst other things that we're going to get to. You had asked me when we got into the break to ask you about any time, any place, anywhere model for education. I'm not familiar with this, so
well,
educate
this,
us.
This is, actually I left out a part of it. It's any time, any place, anywhere, any pace learning. The governor is putting it forth. It's HB 5923. It basically says anybody could start a school. Online schools, for-profit businesses, community organizations, municipal governments. There is no criteria on quality. There's no rules on where they could locate. There's minimal oversight.
You're not joking.
I am not joking. The majority of the State Board of Education, I'm just going to read from a statement they put out earlier this month. New schools and new choices are not a good in and of themselves, particularly if A, they don't provide the particular student better learning and better outcomes, and B, they degrade the overall performance of the public school system and hurt other children. I mean, it's just another, let's do something different. No proof, no research that shows it works, no requirement of meeting quality standards, no fitting it into the education program we have going on now to see where there's a need or there's not a need. It is vouchers in another form. It will, like the mandatory insertion into EAA, will rip apart existing school districts and communities. And again, it's, show me the evidence. Show me the proof that this actually works to educate children better than we're educating children now. And let me say, which is, I'm always careful to say, we need to improve public education in many places. There are schools in Michigan where I would not send my kids, and that is the criteria everyone should use. I would send my kids to the overwhelming majority of public schools in this state, but there are some schools I would not. And we have to figure out how together we improve those schools. And again, we know how to do it. Unfortunately, the legislature doesn't really support what we know needs to be done.
That's not reform. That's lunacy. And so I even hesitate to bring this up, but I have to. As you know, David, I do a lot of advocacy work on behalf of teachers. This is the governor saying, I have given up on public education. All the legislation, the cyber schools, the charter schools, this piece of crap, you know, we could go on, the EAA. It's saying I've given up on public education. I no longer believe in it. I don't want to finance it. So I'm going to take that money and I'm going to give it to people on a for-profit basis, because I believe that if they have the, I don't know, maybe the carrots making money, that they'll educate better. But it's, I mean, there's no basis in reality. This is insanity.
There's no basis in reality. Again, it's deciding to impose the private sector model where they want to use that model. Of course, they would never impose on the private sector, you have to sell an empty building to your competitor. But where they want to say they want to use the private sector model, and you're right. I mean, it is all of these laws undermined the community-based public education that we have. And again, in some places, it needs to work a lot better in some schools. But in the overwhelming majority of schools throughout this state and throughout this country, but throughout this state, it is doing a fine job, a fine, fine job of educating our children.
No question, including the education your children received, including the education my children received, my grandson's now receiving. Let's talk for a moment, David, before we get to the break, about the emergency manager law. PA4 was repealed. How does that affect what we've been talking about
right
this morning?
We'll see. We're currently working with our attorneys to look into that. We know the Detroit School Board is working on that. PA4 repealed PA72, so now PA4 no longer exists, or technically 30 days from Election Day when the results are certified, but technicality, PA4 no longer exists. So what does that mean for the law that PA4 repealed? We're just trying to figure out what exists. Does any emergency manager, financial manager law exist? Does no financial emergency financial manager law exists? What are the court rulings through the years? How has certain legislative language been interpreted by the courts over time? There's, you know, what we may think, but then we want to have a case we could actually win. So that is currently being researched by us. I know the Detroit School Board is doing the same, but there's clearly an argument to be made that since PA4 went down, that there are no longer emergency managers or emergency financial managers. And you know what is what does that mean? Before we won in voting down Prop 1. We were having a battle in Detroit with emergency financial manager Roy Roberts, because since the ballot was Prop 1 was certified to be on the ballot in August, and PA4 was on hold and PA72 was in effect, PA72 requires bargaining with the union, and Roy Roberts refused to bargain with the union and refused to uphold the judge's order that it's PA72 in effect, which means you have to bargain. And so we're figuring all this out.
All right. Well, Roy Roberts said right before the election that if PA4 went down in defeat, that he was going to resign. I'm waiting for that announcement.
Well, you know, he sort of backed off it somewhat, but let's go back to that letter. And I'm glad you raised it. That letter was an insult to every employee in Detroit Public Schools, and beyond Detroit Public Schools, but we're talking about the emergency financial manager of Detroit Public Schools. Roy gave as his reason to the governor that if PA4 no longer exists, I will not have the tools necessary to reform this district. Well, you know, every teacher and every staff person in Detroit Public Schools goes to work, breaks their back to educate our children, and don't have close to the tools that the school district and the state, through the school district, should be providing them to help educate the kids, be it smaller class size, be it books, be it supplies, be it a sound infrastructure in buildings. Every day, they're not provided the tools. And you know, whatever Roy does, that letter was really an insult to the men and women who educate our children.
We'll be back. David Hecker, I'm Tony Truppiano. Stay with us.
WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Qdoba Mexican Grill.
We picked up some more accidents on your rush hour commute. Let's head over to 94 eastbound just after Jackson Avenue. Accident has both lanes blocked with stop and go traffic from M14. And traffic is getting by on the right shoulder only. 96 eastbound at Inkster Row. Accident has your right shoulder blocked with slow traffic from Orchard Lake Road. Southbound 75 just before 696. Accident has your right shoulder blocked there. And your left lane is blocked on Southfield Freeway southbound at McNichols. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Need plans for lunch? Stop into Qdoba and get your meal queso-fied. For a limited time, Qdoba is offering their one-of-a-kind three-cheese queso on any burrito absolutely free. Just ask to have your burrito queso-fied, and you'll see why bacon's got nothing on queso.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 45. Tonight, a low of 31. Tomorrow, sunny and 50 degrees. And it's currently 35 outside right now. This is Anthony with you for shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Executives in private equity firms such as Mitt Romney of Bain Capital and Henry Kravis of Kohlberg Kravis Roberts tend to be peacocks who think quite highly of themselves. Fanning their splendid tail feathers, they unabashedly claim to be the ultimate free enterprise risk takers, worth every dime of the multimillion-dollar paychecks they award themselves each year. Excuse me, but the risks taken by these self-anointed heroes of the market are done with other people's money, not their own. But here's a revelation that really ruffles their feathers. They appear to have been gathering their riches not with bold competition, but with old-fashioned collusion. An antitrust civil lawsuit filed in federal court against 11 of the biggest equity firms includes emails in which they agree not to compete. In 2006, for example, the head of Blackstone sent an email to the co-founder of KKR. "We would much rather work with you guys than against you. Together we can be unstoppable, but in opposition, we can cost each other a lot of money." The KKR honcho happily emailed back a one-word response: agreed. Collusion, of course, perverts the marketplace they pretend to worship, artificially lowering the market price they'd otherwise pay. In the 2008 takeover of the giant HCA hospital chain, for example, KKR expressly asked its market rivals to step down on HCA and not bid. Agreeing to this blatantly illegal collusion, one rival wrote in an email, "All we can do is do unto others as we want them to do unto us." This is Jim Hightower saying, of course, they're really doing it unto you and me. The equity outfits even have an insider term for their mutual backscratching. Club deals, they call them. Forget about the vaunted free market. When the big boys want to profiteer, they keep it inside the billionaire's club.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Got something to tell Tony? We want to hear from you. Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595. Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, back to the show and Tony.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 8 o'clock. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. David Hecker with me. I am Tony Trupiano. Well, amongst the many things we can talk about, and certainly we await some kind of ruling on a Public Act 4, Public Act 72, whatever it's going to involve. We do know, David, that the governor has asked the legislature to revisit not Public Act 4, but a similar law. I was speaking with John Filo, who you know from the Sugar Law Center, and he said, "Tony, we're all for new legislation. Absolutely. There's model legislation around the country that clearly can help communities that doesn't take away representation, doesn't take away a person's right to collective bargain. So, yeah, let's go out and find," but we're talking about a rational idea, and I don't see rationality to this legislature.
Well, we'll see what they do with emergency manager. We knew all along that what Prop 1 was negating a law so that they could replace it the next day if they wanted to. It was not a constitutional amendment, which is one reason we went for Prop 2 as a constitutional amendment.
Right.
So we'll see what they we'll see what they do. But John's right, as he usually is. Again, you know, it's what he's saying is what I said earlier. There are research based ways that we know what we need to do to enhance education, to make cities run better, make counties run better. We, you know, no one denies the unbelievably difficult financial situation too many school districts, too many cities are in. And let's work together and figure that out. I mean, it's really to everyone's best interest to figure that out. I mean, if we don't have this state will never come back if we don't have the strongest public school system we could possibly have.
It's critical.
This state will never come back if we don't have a strong and viable major city. So it's in everyone's interest. Everyone, private, public, Republican, Democrat, it's in everyone's interest to work together to figure this stuff out in a rational way.
You gave me segue into the next topic: cities, counties, finances, personal property tax. We have a serious problem that I don't think the average voter, the average citizen, understands how critical the personal property tax is to their local community. And I mean, we can have a conversation, and we're talking about $500 million. But we can have a conversation about this, but if it goes further than a conversation, we have a problem. Because it just affects school funding, it affects police, it affects snow removal. We cannot continue to give to business. Now we went 1.8, so now we'll be at 2.3 or 2.4 billion dollars to business with no way to pay for these deductions except to tax the middle class.
The all the news, and rightfully so, is about the fiscal cliff that we're facing in the federal government. Major issue, needless to say. And then we have this situation here. Now, what's also interesting is I didn't see the details of it, but I read that Governor Snyder has an idea to make up 90% of the loss.
There are no details, that's why.
Right. But just take that. Why doesn't he have ideas to make up 100% of the loss?
Imagine.
It's not that the money is falling out of the coffers of school districts and cities and counties. Why is he only focusing on making up 90%? And then, of course, as you said, how do we make up? Who is that going to hit?
Right.
Whatever the plan is to make up 90%. But again, it's like 2 years ago when we passed the budget that gave $1.8 billion in tax cuts to corporations. And who paid for that? Our kids paid for it by slashing education funding. Our seniors paid for it by taxing pensions. The low income paid for it by undercutting the value of earned income tax credit.
Right.
And there's a theory that research has shown does not work, that if you put more money in the hands of corporations and the rich, that it'll be what President Reagan called trickle down, and that will work, and that has been proven absolutely not to work. But
I believe we just had a president reelected on that theory.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. We picked up 5 seats in the House. You know, we talk a lot about not winning 2, and there's no question that 2 was a major focus. But we did beat 1. We beat 5. 5 would have been absolutely devastating. And you know what's interesting about beating 5 is that was a very bipartisan effort. You know, I just have to say that every Tuesday morning there was a steering committee call on 5. And half those people on the call were working against us on 2.
Right.
But we came together on 5. And I'll tell you, a lot of the funding to defeat 5 was provided by labor. More of it should have been provided by those people coming after us on 2. But and so if everyone was against 5, everyone should be against repeal of the property tax. I mean, it's the same effect. It takes money away from the state, which means money away from essential services that serve people.
And I need to go back, and we're going to go to the original reason. And I know this is elementary, David, but I think it deserves some conversation. We go back to this idea that the governor sold us on, with the $1.8 billion gift to corporations, that it would create jobs, that it would indeed provide some economic stimulus. It'd be the carrot to get businesses to come to Michigan or to reopen factories. It didn't happen. It still hasn't happened. And so what makes us think that another $500 million, I mean, if that's the trigger, if you can promise me, 400,000 jobs, go ahead and give them the $500 million. I'm all for it. But you can't show me that.
Again, what we started to talk about, what John Filo said, show me the research. And we know why companies locate and expand. They locate and expand based on the community. What's the quality of the school district? What's the quality of the environmental and the recreational offers that a community provides? What's the quality of the libraries? What's the overall quality of life in a community? That's how research shows us. That's what business makes its decisions on. I mean, business, first of all, business leaders live in these communities. They want to live like we all do in places that have a nice quality of life. Second, they want to attract people to work for their company. And part of the big part of that is people want to live someplace where there's a nice quality of life, great school district, et cetera.
Before, I don't mean to interrupt you, we've got a caller, but before we get there, I had a neighbor recently moved, and I said, oh, where are you moving to? Cleveland. Well, actually not Cleveland. The first thing we did was look at the school systems, and once we found the right school system.
Right.
And David, it's common sense. Let's welcome Jerry in Farmington Hills to First Shift. Jerry, thanks for punching in this morning. You're on the air with David Hecker.
Good morning, Dave.
Why don't we
actually insist, like they insist on accountability as far as an education, but why don't we insist, since they're giving out mammoth tax breaks to corporations, you know, between the, especially now with the personal property tax. Why don't they, and the governor's so big about the so-called dashboard of showing visible results, why don't they go ahead and just put their, how many jobs have actually been created? We've never gotten that figure out of them, and I don't think we ever will, but it would be kind of nice to say, well, okay, since you gave this amount of tax abatement or tax break or tax credit, X number of jobs were created at this location by this company.
Well, you have a great point, Jerry. There are sometimes tax breaks are given, and there's a requirement to create jobs. Oftentimes there is no requirement at all, and even when there's a requirement, I you know, not that I see everything, but I really haven't seen comprehensive reports about what jobs have been created and what the quality of those jobs are. Full-time pay to provide for your family, benefits, etc., or not. And you're absolutely right. Be it personal property tax repeal, be it a any kind of tax repeal, be it an outright gift of money to a corporation, if any of that is done, there needs to be, you have to create so many jobs, and those jobs have to be, and we have to define what good means, but those have to be good jobs. And if you don't create those good jobs in this time frame, you owe money back.
I like that. I like the, you know, money back. I forgot about the dashboard. I'm going to go to that site after I get back to my office today, and because they haven't been updating it. And that's been one of the knocks on the governor, is that was a big deal to him. This dashboard was a big deal to him, and they haven't been updating it. And in fact, they'd only updated a couple segments of it, which is great, except it's not measuring the things we care most about. And one of those is, of course, jobs. We also asked the other question. At a time where the economy is stressed, we do know that unemployment went down. We got the announcement yesterday in 0.1%, but we're still over 9% here in the state of Michigan. We had been coming down, and that is because of what President Obama did in the manufacturing sector. We can make that correlation. Mm-hmm. Chrysler announces yesterday they're going to create another 1,250 jobs here in the state of Michigan. That's great. That's wonderful. But that's one industry, David. I don't see us expanding industry. I don't see us really doing the right thing. We kicked the movie industry out of town, which was creating jobs. There was an investment that was happening. That investment's gone away. I would like to think that the people that voted last week just weren't paying enough attention to those numbers. The bottom line is, if we're not creating jobs and we're not protecting our teachers, we're not giving our children a quality education, we should really have no realistic expectation that things get better, which you said a little earlier on in the show. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back. Let David respond to that. Stay with us, folks. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be right back.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano
on 1310
WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Let me turn my attention now to Special Assistant to President Al Garrett at AFSCME Council 25, Ned McNeil.
We specifically signed this agreement on February the 1st of this year, and we ratified this agreement in March. They could have put this agreement in place that the unions had did, which would have annually saved the city $180.2 million. You wouldn't be in this game that they're playing. If they're just playing this game with people's lives, with the citizens of the city of Detroit.
On 1310 WDTW. Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before 9 o'clock. This hour is flying by. David Hecker is my guest. He is the president of the American Federation of Teachers Michigan. Again, feel free to join us in the limited amount of time we do have left. We'd love to hear from you. David, obviously, and we're going to talk about this more with Chris Mihalakis in the next hour, but Right to Work is something that's coming up. We're going to do some work on this on Monday's show as well. We're going to spend a lot of time. I just want to educate people to the reality of what Right to Work is, and you know, I'll let them make up their own mind. I'm certainly got my bias, but you know, one of the plans that's being floated out there. Well, let me back up before I even go there. Let's talk Prop 2 again. And the Republicans in the legislature are saying that the reason they're going to continue to pursue Right to Work is some kind of revenge. Is that the best way to legislate, David?
No. You know, we were asked yesterday why we did Prop 2, and Bob King was with me. I was with Bob King. Let's be clear here. And you know, Bob gave a great answer. I mean, Bob said, listen, there was a lot going on against collective bargaining and working people. But then when they passed legislation that banned dues deduction for school employees and the governor signed it, you know, what are we talking about here? I mean, you know, why would we think that the governor wouldn't sign Right to Work if he would sign that? There was no reason for that law. It didn't save anybody any money. School management groups, a number of business people told the governor to veto the bill, and he signed it. And, you know, what choice did we have other than to say we need to be proactive and we need to go on the offensive and we need to codify things in the Constitution if they're going to pass and sign bills like that? It is, well, because a number of people who are against who, you know, say we started the fight when we didn't, really. We didn't at all. If they didn't pass these laws, we wouldn't have done Prop 2. So now we have to have, you know, the kind of discussion that we actually had yesterday, which is let's talk about what this really means. You know, no one should do right to work at all, but they certainly shouldn't do it because they're mad that people did Prop 2. I mean, let's start from now and move forward. And we all know right to work would be devastating for this state. We all know that as we told the group, the people we met with yesterday, if you look at all the indices of the kind of community you want, unemployment, worker comp, education level, education quality, healthcare coverage, all the indices you'd want to take a look at to see the quality of community we talked about before the break, right to work states are at the bottom of the barrel. It would be devastating for this state. And instead of having us come together to work together, as we've been talking about on this show, Republican, Democrat, pro-Prop 2, anti-Prop 2 people, if there's a right to work fight, we will never come together. And if we don't come together, there's a very dim future for the state of Michigan.
No question. All of that is true. We look at data. Again, going back to research, how we ended up on this theme today, I don't know, but it certainly worked perfectly for us because we can. It's always better to go to facts. And you know, one of the simple facts is we'll talk about again in the next hour, but very specifically when we do the right to work segment, I believe it's on Monday, is that factually, in fact, in the state of Texas, the average person has over two jobs to make ends meet. Over two jobs, David. You stop and you think about what right to work, how it's devastated the states and the communities in which these people live. Texas has a huge poverty problem. They have a huge health care problem. Let them succeed is all I have to say. Governor Perry, take Texas and go figure this out on your own. What people don't realize is in a state like Texas, they were able to balance their budget because of the federal stimulus that the president provided. But let's not talk about the truth. And that's one of the issues that I truly have about right to work. And I preach this whenever I go speak. We cannot, as the birthplace of the modern labor movement, allow this to happen at any cost. We cannot allow it to happen.
Again, it would be totally devastating for the state of Michigan. It would keep us, the different factions, politically warring endlessly. No business wants to come into a community where people are constantly fighting. And that's what will happen if right to work is pursued in this state. And I think you said before the break, they're talking about, well, maybe right to work for public employees, like they did no
right.
Wage deduction for just school employees. Well, you know, they really totally underestimate our labor movement. We lost Prop 2. I'm not going to paint that any other way. That's a fact. I believe in research. The research shows me we lost Prop 2. But I will say that labor movement came out of Prop 2 more united, stronger than we have been in a long, 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 long time. And I've been working in the Michigan labor movement for 29 years. And it is private and public sector totally, completely united. If they think they'd be able to split a portion of the labor movement off by only having a right to work that covers some people, they're wrong.
They are wrong.
Labor movement is totally, completely united.
Let's also make the point that that polling that was done right after the election, although
right.
People were not supporting Proposal 2 by 70-something percent, were very supportive of collective bargaining.
70% of people support collective bargaining, and 55% of the people who voted no support collective bargaining. So legislators and the governor should look at that and realize that, people voted no. They didn't vote no because they're against collective bargaining. The Detroit Free Press, against Prop 2, strongly against right to work. Steve Henderson's editorials, Brian Dickerson's column on Sunday. The Grand Rapids Press, the stress where that paper is, not in the most progressive part of the state.
Certainly not.
Has come out against right to work. And I think more and more newspapers will. Again, we don't need to be butting heads. We don't need to be fighting. We need to be coming together and figuring out together how we move the state forward.
Well, I will say this could end up being just a lot of conversation. It may be something that does or does not move in the lame duck. I feel very good about Tim Grimmel's elevation to minority leader. I'm assuming you feel the same way. He's just a great guy. But that doesn't mean we're not ready for the fight, and if indeed we need to fight, we will. Just very quickly, I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving.
You too, and all our listeners.
Absolutely, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Look forward to it. Thank you.
David Hecker, President of the American Federation of Teachers of Michigan. Chris Mihalak is coming up as we continue with our Labor Day Thursdays, so you're going to want to stay right where you are. NBC News at the top of the hour. Then we have a special announcement coming up just after 9 o'clock to help those that were harmed in Superstorm Sandy. So stay tuned for that. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Let's check that rush hour traffic. Southfield Freeway southbound at McNichols. Accident is blocking the left lane. Eastbound 696 at Inkster Road. Right shoulder's blocked and traffic is slow from Orchard Lake Road. And on 696 westbound at the Bermuda Hilton exit, accident is blocking your left shoulder and traffic is slow from 75. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be partly cloudy and 45. Tonight, a low of 31. Tomorrow, sunny and 50 degrees. And it's currently 35 outside right now. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Tony.